United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, so Remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the pool couple of. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of. If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
While pastor of the relatively small but prominent Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, he hoped to have the time and freedom to complete his doctoral dissertation in philosophy of religion. Within just a few weeks after his dissertation was submitted, however, Rosa Parks' arrest on one of Montgomery's segregated buses thrust him onto the national stage, and he soon found himself selected Time Magazine's Man of the Year, even before he was 30 years old. From that moment on, Martin came to symbolize and vocalize the hopes and aspirations of oppressed people all over the planet. The rich Negro spiritual, We Shall Overcome, became the nonviolent anthem of men and women the world over. The most remarkable aspect of this moral crusade was that he expanded on Gandhi's use of nonviolence and the force of truth to liberate not only the former sons and daughters of slaves, but the sons and daughters of slave owners as well. The message, though essentially spiritual, was nevertheless powerfully political, causing governments to fall, wars to end, and the courts and Congress of the United States to radically expand the human rights vision of the United States Constitution to include the enforcement of new freedoms for the sons and daughters of former African slaves. This same message soon inspired movements for the liberation of women, Hispanic Americans, Native Americans, children, and the physically handicapped, and led ultimately to a rising tide of expectations through the globe. Today's New South and the election of three sons of the South to the United States presidency can all be attributed to the struggle that he led to fulfill the American dream without resorting to the destruction of either persons or property. For Martin, social justice would not roll in on wings of inevitability, but would come through struggle and sacrifice. His Montgomery speeches helped desegregate city buses. In Birmingham and at the Lincoln Memorial, his speeches sparked the passage of the National Civil Rights Act of 1964, putting an end to legal segregation of the races. In Selma, he called successfully for the right to vote.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I hope you're having a good day today. And the number is 347-945-5229. It is 11 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on WSOM AM 600. And today's open mic, as it is on every Friday. But with this open mic, it is 50 years since the March on Washington with Martin Luther King. And I am going to talk about this in different perspectives throughout the day. I want you to call in and voice your view and want to hear what you have to say about whatever's out there going on in the world. I hear President Obama speaking about the chemicals used in Syria. It's a grave concern. We'll talk about that. But I want to really hone in on the aspects of the reflection of what's going on in with the civil rights, the misinformation, the lack of hearing with the lack of actually paying attention. You know, it's one thing to listen to something, and it's another thing to hear it. And there are a lot of people with two ears, but they're not hearing what's really being said. And because they're not hearing what's being said, and they're only listening to every three words of what other people are saying, they're being misled. And because of lack of information and because of lack of hearing and because of lack of knowledge, we don't see where we are splitting ourselves splitting ourselves apart in America, whether it be politically or whether it be socially. And because everything that we do is politically connected, whether you want to acknowledge that or not, if you don't pay attention to what's going on and you don't hear what people are saying, you will make bad decisions based on misinformation. And in my short years on life, I have found out that bad information or misinformation or lack of information is worse than no information. And so when it comes to, as I said, I want to talk about the reflection of the last 50 years. And want you guys to call in and join in the conversation. Got some new sponsors that have come on with us. As you know, Pet Spa Salon for cats and dogs. They're located over on Western Reserve Road, and they are one of our partners. And so I want you to take a look at them and take your dog and your cat out to see them. They're located at 1122 West Western Reserve Road in Boardman, Ohio, and the number is 330-758-4444. They're catty corner right across the street from the Sparkle there. Also, there's a place called the Village Marketplace, and they are located on South Avenue, and they are new with us. And there is a vendor in there, and it's called Harley Meats. They have lunch. And Harley Smokehouse Barbecue. They're located inside of the venue there. You will find some good lunches for you. You'll find all the fixings that you want. You want your macaroni and cheese and your corn and your green beans and your baked beans. They have all of that there. You'll also find pulled pork, rotisserie chicken. You'll find wonderful breads, wonderful rolls. They've got luncheon specials there, and they want you to stop in. And when you do, tell them that you heard it on Tracy and Friends and tell them I said hi. So I wanted to get that out. And Dandridge Nursing Home will be back with us, and they'll be in with us next month. They were going to come in this month, but they didn't make it in because of vacations and getting and state approvals, and they're just busy. But they'll be back with us next month, so look out for them. The number again is 347-945-5229. Going back to what I was saying about Martin Luther King and the March on Washington, you know, somebody asked his son this morning on one of the news programs. They asked him, would Martin Luther King be considered as radical if he was here in 2013? And I was listening and was not watching, so I'm not quite sure who was stating this. And they said, yes, he would be because of what went on with Trayvon Martin and what has happened with the civil rights legislation or civil rights bill. And this is where I am very, very furious about what we say and what we hear and what we listen to. Let's really understand that the civil rights legislation that was amended and or struck down by the Supreme Court was not the entire piece of legislation. This legislation came in sections. And there was a section of the civil rights legislation that actually stated that before eight states could change any of their voting laws, they had to go to the federal government or the Congress for approval. Well, what they said was it was unconstitutional to choose out only eight states, that you needed to choose, you need to have legislation, you need to have rules that are unilateral for all 50 states. So what they said was you need to broaden the scope of what you're doing. Now, what you can do is you can take, instead of making it 8, you can make all 50 and say that they had to come before the federal government before they could change any of their voting laws. Or you could have made it to where these are the laws and everybody has to abide with, because federal law supersedes state law. You could have done that in many, many different ways. But for everyone to think that they are a victim because you're trying to make rules that are unilateral across the whole building, you don't want to be sectioned out, because sectioning out means you're going back into segregation. We said we wanted integration. Integration means you won't have a set of laws for one and not a set of laws for all. That is what integration means. That's what we wanted. We wanted to be treated as everyone else. We did not want to be separated from anyone else, and we did not want to be chosen and sourced out by anyone else. We wanted to be integrated into mainstream America. That's what we asked for. That's what we're getting. And now that we're here, we still want to have your cake and eat it too, and you can't do it. So either we're going to have to be a part of this integration, or we're going to have to go into separation segregation. But you can't do both. So selecting just 9 states to pick on because they were the southern states, but now those southern states aren't the problems, but you have problems in other states, that doesn't make sense. I just want to say that. So I want to throw that out there. Then when you look at Trayvon Martin, the incident of Trayvon Martin, as hideous as it is, the young man should not be dead. I agree. And when we look at this, but we need to be honest about what's really going on here. We are very, very disingenuous because we are so reactive. We want to blame Stand Your Ground. We want to blame everything that goes on. But we don't want to blame ourselves for allowing stuff like that to go in the books if we don't agree with it. So instead of us being proactive and being at the tables when they're pushing this legislation through, there are 30 states of 50, which means two-thirds almost of all the states have this legislation, yet you want to harp on it now that it's already there. And they did it one at a time. It wasn't like it was a blanket. The 30 states automatically did something. Now you want to overturn it. You want to make it different because you think it's unfair. But we want to go and pick and choose which things are hate crimes and which things aren't hate crimes. Every time you pull a gun out and shoot somebody, it should be considered a hate crime. No matter if it's black on black, white on black, black on white, it doesn't matter. So Trayvon Martin, as tragic as it is and as sad as it can be, we need to understand, yes, racism plays a part in a lot of things that we do, but we play a part of the victim in everything that we do, and we need to quit being the victim and become the victor. And I believe, in my own perception, because no one knows who Martin would be today, but I believe if Martin Luther King were alive today, he would be appalled by the murder rate inside the black community, the lack of education inside the black community, the high unemployment inside the black community, and the lackadaisical attitude that we have when it comes to politics inside of the black community. If you really want to know how he would feel after the March on Washington and taking a bullet, going to jail, and doing and sacrificing his life and his family for people so that we can be integrated into a system where we want to be segregated out of and still be considered the victim. That is a problem. And until we grow up as Americans, this is both black and white, where white people understand that the reason why some of the problems that we have in the inner city is because of things that they have allowed to happen, and black people, because we have allowed us to have this victim mentality, then we will always be where we are, and we will always go where we're going, and we will always get nowhere. Because victims never win. They tell you that in domestic violence classes. You can't be the victim. You're going to have to stand up and become the victor. Because every time you become the victim, you let other people have power over you. And after a while, you've got to stand up. We tell young people who are being bullied in school, stand up, get a backbone, and say, no, I won't take it anymore. Well, as a nation, we need to do the same thing. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Private caller, your mic is on. Is that you, Brown? maybe not. Well, listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Fit family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Julio Flores with your headline news. General Electric says it will add more than 150 jobs at three factories in Illinois and Ohio. Meet what the company says is increased demand for alternative traditional incandescent light bulbs. Part of that includes a new deal with Walmart. Company this Thursday that will add 50 jobs in Circleville, Ohio, South Carolina. Newton Falls residents drying out from heavy rains that flooded the area hope proof of their hardship will lead to federal assistance. The city experienced at least two heavy rainfalls during a four-week period, the most recent dropping 4.5 inches of rain in 1 hour. At a public meeting held on Thursday, residents brought pictures and information about the cost of damage they experienced from the flooding and how much of the cost insurers did not cover. At around 12:30 a.m. Thursday morning, two suspects armed with a gun robbed two Youngstown State University students on Norwood Avenue as they left a party. It's the fourth armed robbery near the YSU campus in a week where Youngstown State students are the victims. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
From the first shots fired at the Battle of Concord in 1775, this great country was founded on personal freedom and the private ownership of firearms. In keeping with that tradition, National Armory is working hard to support your Second Amendment rights. Visit National Armory, now at the old Buckeye Firearms location, in Streetsboro, Austintown, and Rogers.
Sophie landed in the hospital after falling at home. Sophie was sobbing when her doctor ordered rehab after surgery to repair her fractured hip. Spending 6 weeks at a rehabilitation facility for therapy meant leaving home, but more importantly, leaving Princess, her furry, purring companion of 12 years. At Crandall Medical Center, we understand the bond between you and your pet. Crandall Medical Center is pet-friendly, allowing your pet to join you during your rehabilitation stay. The goal of our therapy and nursing staff is to get you both back home comfortably, safely, and quickly. At Crandall Medical Center, the nursing staff and therapists kept Sophie smiling as she was getting back on her feet and Princess purring. Crandall Medical Center on the campus of Copeland Oaks and nearby Sebring. To find out about our pet-friendly policy, visit us on the web at crandallmedicalcenter.com or call 330-938-6126. That's 330-938-6126.
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
I'm okay. I'm still a little sore.
You're lucky you didn't break something with that fall you took.
I'll be fine. Just need to watch where I'm going.
Dad, I wanted to talk to you about something that's been on my mind.
What's that, son?
Just hear me out. What do you think about moving to...
Not that retirement community thing again.
I went online and found out about Copeland Oaks. It's close by and looks like a great place.
No, not for me.
But, Dad, with Mom gone and you home by yourself, I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm fine. I'm not ready for a nursing home.
Dad, it's not a nursing home. It's a retirement community with younger, active people just like you. Not like it used to be. They have really nice apartments, even real homes in a neighborhood, plenty of activities, good food, and they've been around for a long time.
I don't know.
You can still do everything you normally do, only you have people around who can help if you need it.
Well, maybe.
You know, you've even got a stocked pond.
Now, that's the best thing I've heard yet.
Call 1-800-222-4640 or go to CopelandOaks.com. Copeland Oaks, a faith-based retirement community. People of all faiths, welcome.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
I don't want nobody giving me nothing. Open up the door. Nothing. Open up the door. I'll get him myself. I don't give me penetration.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I want to remind you that Charlie's Consignment Boutique is located over in Warren. They want you to come over there and say hi to them. And they consign and you can purchase. And it's located at 408 East Market, Warren, Ohio, 4481. The number is 330-392-0408. Go over there and tell them you heard it on Tracy and Friends on Price Church. She'll be appreciative that you actually will come over and say hi to her. See, check it out. Hey, I'm a secondhand girl, and I believe secondhand works. And don't forget, on this upcoming Sunday, they want you to come out to 93 Years of Women Inequality Day. It's Working Women Reunion Celebration. It's going to be this Sunday, the 25th, at the Old Park Hotel, which is now Best Western, in downtown Youngstown. And the time will be at 3:30, and the program starts at 4. There's going to be a poetry skit, documentary, and more. For more information, give them a call at 330-395-6913. I celebrate civil rights, and it bothers me that people have allowed everyone else to utilize the legislation that was passed for them, and they not use it themselves. And they have allowed it to be used against them, allowed it to push them back even further. You've lost more population by aborting your own children and lack of control than any other populace in the world. And we don't want to talk about it, and we keep on pushing it, and we won't get proactive when it comes to legislation in America. We are always reactive, yet we want to be the victims and not the victor. But they want to be mobilized, and we don't want to mobilize. That is a problem for me. And as we go to celebrate what's going on in America this past 50 years, we really need to be very, very introspective on what we're saying and what we're saying about other people and what's happening in our own backyard. And we need to take some ownership, and those on the outside, they need to look on the inside and take some ownership also. How you doing, Brown? I think that's you.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good afternoon to those.
Those of us on the East Coast. Hey,
yeah.
It's 12:32 here. We've made it to noon.
Right. Well, hopefully we'll be able to do the same here on this end. It's unfortunate. It's obvious if you listen to the news stations, the cable news stations, that there's a concerted effort to muddle the dialogue or to inflame people, particularly about race, which is right after the Trayvon Martin trial, which didn't do anything to help the discussion. I think on Fox, I saw them talking about the most recent case with the Australian guy getting killed. And I wanted to correct you. It's one black kid, one racially mixed kid, and one white kid. The racially mixed kid and the black kid got charged with first-degree murder, and the white kid who drove, apparently, is not going to face as serious a charge as he's an accessory after the fact.
Excuse me? Hold up. Wait a minute. Stop right there. Hold the press. Say that again. Okay, there's a white kid, a mixed kid,
the reporting
and a black
that I heard, kid. Yeah, and that the white kid is the kid that drove. One of the two, either the racially mixed kid or the black kid, was the shooter, and that those two are being charged with first-degree murder. And it's almost like they pick these cases up by the design to further inflame tensions. There's a lot of people that believe that there's an agenda to push for an all-out race war. Also in the news, the horrible case where the kid in Georgia, the black kid in Georgia, was robbing the white girl with the stroller, threatened the baby and shot a baby. No one defends that. No one defends that. Everyone feels that someone that's doing stuff like this should be punished. Why these two particular murders are getting that much attention? Why do you think, though, of all the murders that are going on, why are these receiving national attention?
Is it
possible that they're receiving national attention because there's a Wizard of Oz behind the scenes that wants to push things to further inflame the populace when it comes to race? Is that a possibility?
I'm still trying to research who got charged with what, because I've got an issue.
I'm not going to say it unless
my problem is, see, this is my problem. When there's a gang,
try to answer the question if you can.
No, what I'm saying, when there's a gang shooting, everybody in the car gets charged.
Generally. Right.
You know, if there's a gang shooting, the driver gets charged, the person walking with the people get charged.
Of course.
The people sitting in the back seat gets charged, and the guy who actually fires the gun
usually
gets charged. That's how it usually works.
That's how I've always heard it. If it's any type of shooting, the getaway driver is just as culpable.
Everybody goes to jail together. We in this together.
I'm not trying to draw any conclusions.
I'm trying to figure out why that. Now see, that's a problem for me. That's a problem for me. See, I have a problem with it's like the goose and the gander.
It's good for the goose, got to be good for the gander.
That's what I was taught. We all in this together. We all do this together. If it happens to you, it happens to me. So if there had been three black men and the black man had been driving, would he have gotten charged the same way? Help me out here. See, that's the same thing that goes on with Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman, if the roles were reversed, would the outcome be the same? See, that's where justice in America is not blind, and that's where we get in trouble.
What one thing, the dialogue and the conversation when it comes to Trayvon Martin is that I hear how angry people are. Not just angry, but they speak with a lot of emotion in their voice, as if this happened, as this really affects them personally. And it doesn't. It's unfortunate that it happened. But you don't want to address you don't have to.
But I mean, I'll address it.
If anyone out there wanted to address, why are these particular situations
why are they brought up in the media?
Why are they brought up in the national media?
Because it makes good news. It makes good news. It's not about is it good news, but it makes good news. And when I say good news, it makes dollar news. It makes money news. It makes rating news. It makes conversation news. That's why it's brought in. If it bleeds, it leads. Haven't you heard that cliche?
I have heard it.
If it bleeds, it leads. I mean, sensationalism. It always. I mean, if you look at what we watch on television. The more downtrodden scandal there is, the more we like it. That's why we like the television show Scandal, and it's dirty low. Everything that is in opposition to good moral fabric is inside of that show, and we all love it.
I don't watch the show, but
I'm just saying, if you look at the ratings, it's one of the highest rating shows on ABC. We love it. It's got scandal, it's got murder, it's got deceit, it's got lying, it's got cheating, it's got manipulation, it's got it all, and we love it. If it bleeds, it leads. And if we can manufacture, if we can create a situation and then control the situation and the outcome of it, we would even like it the more. It's good for news. It's good for ratings. You know, that's why you have people like Howard Stern. Howard Stern, right now he's America's darling on America's Got Talent. But if you really want to know who he is, you got to listen to his radio show. He's raunchy. He's so raunchy they had to take him off the cable. He's raunchy. They love it.
You mean off the terrestrial radio?
No, terrestrial radio and cable. I mean, you got to hunt for him. He used to be on, the basic channels. You can't find Howard Stern on the basic channel nowhere right now, unless he's on America's Got Talent. But he's making $90 million from the satellite companies because of his ratings being so high.
So you don't feel that it's possible that there's a race war agenda being pushed?
My co-host feels that way, yes. My co-host?
Mm-hmm.
My co-host, Jeff, he feels that, yeah, they're trying to do that. I don't necessarily believe that they're trying to push a race war. What I think they're trying to do is they're trying to keep people where they're controllable. And it's not, and how, because you don't want black people and white people to come together who are poor or who are underserved, because they'll overthrow those people who are wealthy. See, as long as we're talking about this right here, we're not talking about Wall Street shutting down. We're not talking about the IRS. We're not talking about this other stuff. We're not talking about – when we talked about this earlier this week, we talked about quantitative easing. We talked about the budget. We talked about secret societies and manipulation of the American public and the American laws and how things are controlled. As long as we're talking about this, we're not talking about that. And if they can keep us focused over here and not focused on over there, then they're doing really good. Three card Molly. Local call, your mic is on.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I see it differently. I see all these things happening really quickly now. Like it's coming to a boil. You know how a boil has to break?
Yeah.
And the old saying, the frog in the pot. And I do believe there is, more of a, what do you want to call it? Like the fellow said, that man, race war, because I called it about a month ago and we talked about the blacks getting mad because there wasn't enough jobs. And not only that, but that they were mad at the Hispanics taking their jobs. Something along those lines. But now, you just said something that, as long as we're talking about this, we're not talking about that, but everything is sort of related anymore because The biggest thing is jobs. Now, President Obama was talking yesterday about college tuition, and we're burning here. I mean, it's like to throw off our thoughts about the actual problems. I mean, college kids don't even have any jobs, and here he's talking about reducing the price of it. It's absurd. You know where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I do. I understand it.
And then the other big story is the World War II veteran in Spokane, Washington. They just made an arrest.
Somebody killed him, didn't they?
Yes, and that, no guns involved. They beat him. So I just see too many things happening now. I think people are really pushed to the brink. Not enough money. Breakdown of the homes.
But see, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but broke been in a black community for a long time. It really has.
Hmm.
What we did not have was the sensationalism and the materialism of the media. But black folks been broke a long time. That's not new. We've been jobless a long time.
Maybe in Youngstown, Ohio, and the surrounding areas. There's in California. There's a upwardly mobile. Not that there's not in Ohio.
But even in South Central Los Angeles, even if you look at
you're generalizing.
I'm just saying. But I've lived there. I mean, there were when the race riots happened in '92.
I know black people that live in Beverly Hills and in Mulholland Drive.
But and don't get me wrong. But again, we've always had your upper echelon of
black
folks.
I grew up for the most of my, you know, the.
But the majority.
I grew up in Windsor Hills. I grew up
but
around.
But the majority of black
yeah, but
people.
But
the majority
some people
of black
think,
people.
Some people think when they think of black people, and you're repeating this, that they think of poor. And I grew up around black. I grew around black people that were doctors and dentists. And lawyers and business owners.
But again, we've had, but the when you look at the majority of people, yes, you had your 15%. But when you really look,
just don't, and that's fine.
Brown, let me finish the sentence.
Just don't forget that there's.
I'm gonna get to the other 15. But when you look at how people have been raised in the majority of America, the African Americans in the majority of America for centuries now. We have struggled and made something out of nothing always. And yes, you may have had relatives who were wealthier, who were doctors and who were lawyers and who were successful, and they had some money. But you've always had a good struggling class of African Americans, even all the way through segregation. The difference is we had self-respect.
I did a little reading about your area, just a little, and
I'm
see
not
that young,
talking about
that,
my area.
No. Well, there's a difference. There's a whole different. The demographics of any place. Well, most places in California, the cities, Los Angeles, San Francisco Bay Area, and the greater Los Angeles area, are just so different than what's in Ohio.
You're right, but I'm not talking about Ohio.
Well,
I lived in Los Angeles 10 years.
I just wanted to ask you, how do you explain the generations of people? It's not a black thing. Poverty isn't a black thing.
You missed my point.
I'm getting your point.
The disparity that we're talking about racism in America is now really about black, white, black, Latino. We need to understand that.
What about the generations of poor people in Appalachias, which is not too far from Youngstown?
Youngstown is a part of Appalachia. Go Google it while I'm getting this.
I
out.
Know. Okay. All right. I didn't want to.
But listen to what I'm saying.
But explain the generations.
You know what? I didn't told you. Just because you know it all, you don't have to spew it all. And what I'm saying to you is. I've lived in Los Angeles. I went past the place where I my first apartment in L.A. It is still in South Central Los Angeles. It's in an impoverished area. It is what it is. People may be hustling. It may have changed, but the economic situation is still the same. And what I'm saying is the difference between then and now is we have to have self-respect. That makes a difference. That's the point. The point is not about how much money people make. See, people have been broke and poor a long time. You've had poor people who are white. The difference is self-respect. Any self-respecting person does not go down the street and shoot people. That's the point.
Can I add something?
Please.
Okay, I hear a lot, whatever happens out in California, so goes the rest of us. And I do see more and more states that will go bankrupt in the near future. Look at
California's
Detroit.
California isn't bankrupt.
Democratic rule for a long time.
Who's that?
California's
not bankrupt. They just broke.
California's not even broke.
California
recently balanced the budget.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not saying how California goes, the rest of the nation goes. That's not what I was saying. What I'm saying is the demographics are different. As far as diversity, and I want you to please, since black people are so poor, you know, and the majority of them are poor, and we're talking, you're singling out South Central Los Angeles, please explain the Appalachians.
Appalachians are a very, very poor area. They comprise of East. Why? One, because they're very, very rural. They're very, very rural. They're very, very set in their ways. They're very, very. They don't have a whole lot of industry. Youngstown used to be very, very wealthy. You have to understand, Youngstown went from very, very wealthy.
It's a steel town.
Absolutely. And when we lost the steel mills to globalization, we went into the rough town. And we have gone went through this for a very, very long time. But what I'm saying to you is African Americans, the numbers clearly show. And instead of us pulling ourselves up and working together to make things happen, we have not done that as effectively as we should. So now as we celebrate 50 years of the civil rights movement, we are losing on
what
one
happened?
Side.
You focus on that. It's easy to blame. You make a habit of blaming black people for the things that happened. Explain why are people even poor in the Appalachians? I just want to know. Is it because they're white?
No.
Then why?
Not because they're white. It's because of a mindset. Everything has to do with mindset.
So why hasn't anyone been able to change the mindset of the people in the Appalachians for generations? I remember being in the Appalachians. We went in.
Years ago, we stayed
at a resort at the Homestead in Virginia.
Not everyone wants to do better. We have to understand that. Not everybody wants to be free. Wants to work.
Why don't these white people in the Appalachians?
Some of them do.
Get themselves together generations after
some
generation?
Some of them do.
Why are they? But all right. So some are able, but the poverty.
If they
that's
choose
there,
to, the poverty, the area. We're talking about the area. The area of poverty is there.
But why don't
when you look
same,
at
why don't
you're not
they have
brown.
They had.
You're looking at a location, and I'm looking at a mindset of people
Los
that
Angeles,
across
you're looking
the
at a
nation.
Location. When you're looking at
brown.
A you're looking at a location.
Brown, I'm not looking at a location.
What's the
I'm looking at a mindset.
White people in the Appalachians
brown.
That are generationally
you are
poor.
So. You are so aspirating.
I'm just trying to focus on one thing. I'm just trying to
focus on. No,
no,
you're trying
to
focus on what you want
to
focus on. And you're not listening to what I'm saying. You're trying to go where you want to go with your show, and you need to go do that. But what I'm trying to tell you is you can, if you told Brown, if you told me all black people in one area was one way, like Appalachia, then we would deal with it that way. But you can't deal with every urban population in America and them have all the same systemic problems, and then tell me it goes to the same root, because it doesn't. It's mindset. It's indoctrination, and it's apathy. And it is a plan that has been in the works, and we are walking according to the plan because we like being the victim, and the people who are victors over us like keeping us enslaved.
Does that apply to the people in the Appalachians as well?
Appalachia is different. Appalachia is a region. You don't have Appalachia in California, but you got black folks
in
California.
You do have areas in the central of the state where there's an impoverished. I don't want to say that term, but there's an impoverished communities of white people,
Again, we're saying, listen, communities, rules, it's a mindset. But when you look at African Americans across the board, go ahead, Sticks, your mic is on.
Yeah, I can speak to Appalachia. Appalachia, the people that want to not be impoverished are not impoverished. There is a large group of people who live in Appalachia that just want to hunt and fish and be left alone. And the elitists in D.C. don't understand that mindset. I know a lot of people that just want to hunt and fish and be left alone.
And you don't need no government. You don't need no people. You want to come in. People want to come in and industrialize Appalachia. Appalachia doesn't want you to come in and industrialize nothing.
Absolutely. Why do I want to work 5 days if I can make it on three?
They like their lifestyle. People who live in trailer parks, same way. They like where they live. They live what they like. And let me do what I do, drink my beer, and leave me alone.
Right.
But we're talking about people who.
So don't be impoverished.
I don't want to hear your question because I want.
I'm not willing to have an open debate with someone who wants to be aspirating. Get off the line when you're more open minded and want to hear viewpoints that
then
are
you can
intelligent
do that.
And constructed. No, but you're not being fair, and you're not doing any service.
I'm not trying to do a service. I'm trying to do talk radio. So my question is, if you're talking about African Americans, we're talking about 50 years of civil rights. They said they want it better. That was the issue about civil rights. Civil rights was saying, I want to live a better lifestyle in a better way. We're not talking about people who like where they live, but as long as you give me something free, I'll take it. But when you tell me that I've got to go out and get my own, then we need to also understand that the white society put their foot on their neck for so many years. They put oil on the wheel so that they could not climb. And they created this in 1950 with the Great Society.
Exactly. So why haven't the people that live in the Appalachians been able to pick themselves up with their bootstraps when they don't have the disadvantage of a racial structure with the foot in their neck?
That's what I'm trying to tell you, Mr. Beasley. The ones that want better don't get better. Listen, Brown.
The people in Appalachia is just like what Sticks said.
This is Jeff. Okay, I just want to know who everybody is. I don't really know who everybody is.
Okay, this is Jeff. They are people that like living off the land. You remember the Beverly Hillbillies? They were out one day hunting for some food, and up from the ground came a bubbling crude.
They came
out of Appalachia. Now, the thing is those are people that live on the land. That's what they want to do. They don't want to live in a big city. They don't want to live in even the suburbs. They want to live out in the country where they can hunt, fish, and they're not complaining. Except that those that want to work in the coal mines can't do it anymore because the president is shutting down coal. So there you go. You have to take things for what it's worth.
So the people in the Appalachians have their right to self-determination, but unambitious people,
not at
that
all.
Are black, that are in the hood, they don't have a right to do what they do.
I take offense with that, Mr. Beasley. Unambitious people. What's your definition of ambition?
It takes a lot to hunt.
My definition of ambition, I'll give you the clinical definition of ambition if you'd like.
We didn't ask you for the clinical definition of ambition. We want to know what
your
definition
of ambition is. There is not my...
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
The definition of the word, and I use the word properly. But to give it exact, I'm going to give him a definition of ambition. And ambition is an important part of this conversation. Because the exact same characteristics that exist, that's okay with these people in the Appalachians, are the exact same characteristics that exist with these black people in the hood in South Central. I'm trying to tell you.
Of course you disagree. I will tell you why I disagree with that. Because those people in Appalachia that choose to live like that, you take their government check away from them, they're going to continue to live like that.
That's true. That's true.
Do you know how much wood it takes to heat a house for winter and how much labor that takes?
I mean,
ambitious.
Brown, you're trying to compare somebody that doesn't want any more with somebody who said they wanted more.
Who wants
see,
more?
They don't, see, listen, African Americans said they want more.
Brown,
listen to what I'm saying. Listen to, and I'll take, and I'm going to take a break.
All right.
They said they wanted more. They say they want to be integrated into the American system. That's what they say.
You're talking about 50 years ago. Let's talk about today.
Because today, anything you give free, we'll take.
So doesn't that apply to the people in the Appalachian as well? A high percentage of them get food stamps. A high percentage of them get Section 8 housing. Why is it different? Is it more insidious that these people remain poor generation after generation when they don't have the disadvantage of a racist structure or a racist system?
Your definition of their poor is their definition of their life.
I don't know what that means. Can I give a definition? Let me just give a definition. The simple
definition. I don't need a dictionary.
Mr. Beasley, I live there, okay? You're talking about my hood. And I
doing this for discussion.
Brown, listen to what Stix has to say. He lives in Appalachia. He lives it.
And I'm familiar with
you ain't never lived out where Stix lives.
I've been there. I've seen it.
I'm not talking about a boat ride through. I'm talking about staying still.
I drove through the inner city once too, but I can't tell you anything about living there.
Thank you. Good one, Steve.
I know people that don't have running water and use an outhouse by choice.
And they don't want no better. I got to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
Hello? WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
We got talents we can use on our side of town. Let's get our heads together and beat it up.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Belanda. Trying to sell your house? Higher mortgage interest rates are keeping some buyers at bay. Economist Diane Swank is with Mesirow Financial.
First-time buyers are not showing up because of an overhang of student loan debt. They can't get into the market because of harder mortgage qualifications. And now that mortgage rates are up, even though it's still a very affordable market, it's tough for them to get in.
New home sales plunged 13% last month. The jury in the murder trial of accused Fort Hood shooter Army psychiatrist Nadal Hassan has resumed deliberations. ABC's Jim Ryan is at Fort Hood, Texas.
Regardless of the verdict, these proceedings have set some precedents.
There's a lot of firsts in this case. It's one of the longest trials in military history. We've never seen someone defend themselves and yet offer no defense.
Jeffrey Atticott runs the Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's University in San Antonio. He thinks the question before the jury isn't so much Hassan's guilt, but his planning and intent. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Fort Hood, Texas.
A wildfire near Yosemite National Park continues to rage out of control. ABC's Neil Karlinski is near the fire line.
The rim fire is now so big, the bulk of the effort to stamp it out is being made by a massive aerial assault. Even as firefighters in the path of the flames are sweating the smallest details, going yard to yard and fighting this fire one house at a time.
The inferno is only 2% contained. How long can you tread water? A fisherman thrown overboard in a thunderstorm off the coast of Florida did it for 18 hours before he was finally spotted by another fishing boat. More from ABC's John Mueller.
Stranded at sea, Momora says he could see the Coast Guard helicopters and even spotted a shrimp boat. His hopes dashed when it became apparent that neither could see him.
His wife says that it is a miracle that he was rescued. If you get a phone call and hear, "Hi, it's Pope Francis," don't hang up. It could be. He's been calling some people out of the blue recently after receiving letters from them. This is ABC News.
She just looks that bowl squeaky clean. She loves Dynavite.
I just tried this wonderful, catalicious Dynavite for cats.
The vitamins, the minerals,
it's got all the stuff in it that cats really like.
You don't even have to put food with the Dynavite. She will eat the powder right out of the scoop.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out because I'd seen the changes in my dog.
She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Sammy, he's 13, 14 years old and is running around a little bit more. His coat is a little bit softer and shinier.
Justin's eyes sparkle more. He bats at stuff. He kind of jumps around.
Stacy and Spooky have a cat tree in my living room, and lately she's been climbing up to the top, jumping up there, and then she'll climb back down, and then she's right back up again.
It is just the best Dynavite for cats.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Fast food in Philly is getting a bit more healthy. ABC's Dave Schreiber has the story.
Philadelphia Chinese restaurants have been working to cut the amount of salt in their food. According to preliminary results, there's been a reduction of 20% in some dishes. Researchers are hoping the Healthy Chinese Takeout Initiative will mean less Philadelphians with high blood pressure. In 2012, about 37% of people in Philadelphia were diagnosed with hypertension. Instead of salt, some restaurants are using chilies or garlic for flavoring. In drives for healthier eating, other cities have banned trans fats, and in some places, calorie counts are required. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Figure some to prevent a copyright infringement showdown, but the family turned it down. Gay's family says Blurred Line sounds a lot like Gay's Got to Give It Up. Daniela Bellata, ABC News.
Attention men, are you urinating often, waking at night to urinate? We want to send you a free bottle of Super Beta Prostate, made with a natural ingredient that supports healthy urine flow and is shown to reduce waking at night from the urge to urinate. Since its debut, over 6 million bottles have been shipped. And right now, you can try Beta Prostate free. Only pay shipping and handling. For details, just call 800-522-3090. That's 800-522-3090. Call 800-522-3090. 522-3090.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S. And now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Never bet on a horse named Tripod. Never go cliff diving with a guy named Cliff. It's just too many cliffs. Never play leapfrog with a unicorn. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, tires, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $21.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Local restaurants, shops, salons, and more with savings of 50 to 90% every time. Live more, spend less. Download the mobile app now.
Now that's a real sweet deal.
SweetJack.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Singing that same old funny song. You can't tell
Back and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-947. Yep, I can't do both at the same time. Number 347-945-5229. I want to hear from you today. It is open mic, and I was talking about I'm trying to talk about the civil rights thing and race in America, because I'm watching people spin this civil rights thing, Trayvon Martin and these kids getting killed and all this, and they are really jacking up the whole mindset of America, and it's kind of bad. And Justin's sitting with me on the phone. The phone lines are open. It looks like Brown Beasley. He's driving me nuts today.
He's really incorrigible there.
He's driving me nuts today.
He can't really listen. He likes to lead.
He's worse than you.
He's way worse than me. I'm respectful.
Don't talk about me like I'm not here when they're over the ridiculous.
Don't talk about me like I'm not here. We just disagree. I stop you when you're getting stupid, and that's probably why you're getting stopped. Now you're being name calling.
He's not listening. He doesn't understand. Keep it above the belt. We live here.
Not everybody wants to be free. Some people like to live there. But you can't say you want to be free, and then I try to free you, and then you tell me, no, you got to take care of me.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right.
Wait a minute, Jeff, before we go too far. This is James Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never seen no that we could make a song out of a cliche.
James Brown can make a song out of anything.
Talking loud and saying nothing.
He said a lot of stuff in there, please.
But that's the whole song. The whole song is about talking loud and saying nothing. You got to understand. Talking loud, saying nothing. That's what he's saying. It is what it is. The number 347-945-5229 today is the 23rd of August. Don't forget to go out and support my people, my friends over at the Valley Marketplace over on South Avenue. And while you're over there, stop in the back and get you something to eat from Harley's Barbecue in the back. And tell them that you heard on Tracy and Friends, and I'm quite sure they'll treat you right. And don't forget my friends at Pet Spa Salon over on Western Reserve, and I'll come back and tell you a little bit more about them a little bit later on. Local call, your mic is on.
Hi, Steve. You're talking about us being free.
You are free.
Well,
you are free.
Are we really free?
That's the problem. You don't believe you're free. That's the problem. That's the problem right there. You're free. You don't believe you're free, so you still act like you're not free. And that's a problem, because you are free.
Well, we're free in a sense that we can go any place we want.
No, you can do whatever you want to do. So you are free. But freedom takes responsibility, and it takes commitment, and you have to live for it every day. But you are free. And if you don't believe you're free, that's the problem that we have, because people don't believe they are free.
Well, let's see if you do one religious group that has. That you don't want me to talk about. They tell me that freedom is someone you're free from sin and death.
Steve, why do you bring up that Jehovah Witness stuff every time you call in?
Oh, you know I'm not going there. Steve.
So hang up the phone.
It's a cult, Steve.
Steve, hang up the phone.
Okay. It's a cult.
Hang up the phone.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Hang up the phone. Thank you very much. I'm not talking about the Jehovah Witnesses. All right. Brown, is that you? Or is that a new and it's a private caller?
It's me. You guys talk about me like I'm not here to make these inferences, you know, let's keep it above the belt.
Let's keep it above the belt.
No, Jeff said I'm stupid. What I'm saying is
I'm stupid.
No,
because
you're not stupid.
And you also say I'd like to lead. Leaders lead.
Leaders follow. And leaders lead. But leaders follow too.
Just to be contrary, you said that.
But no, that's real.
I really want to know. I really need an explanation for the generational systemic poverty, the drug abuse, the inbreeding that goes on. I'm getting excuses for what goes on in trailer parks in the Appalachians. I'm getting excuses. Now, it's
Sweetie, I'm going
to
pick
show,
up another call. Listen, sweetie, you want to talk about what's wrong with Appalachia, and when you say Eden breeding, we need to be careful with that word, because there's a lot of black folks walking around and a lot of white folks walking around, and their daddy is your brother.
I wasn't making a racial thing of it.
But you did.
I don't want to go there.
Again, but I'm
right.
just saying it out loud.
So you don't want to discuss that?
What I'm saying to you is, if you want to talk, it's a mindset. It's a mindset of conditioning. And you have to understand that African-American people that we see today are not the ones that I knew 30 years ago, that I knew 50 years ago.
Of course not.
So what I'm saying is it is a mindset, and we have taken on a mindset, but we say we want something else. It would be different if we loved the life that we lived and we wanted to do something about it. But we want somebody to change our life, but we don't want to be an active participant in it. That's the problem. 482, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy. Happy Friday.
Hey, how are you, Bonnie?
How are you?
I'm good.
I've listened to your caller, and of course, sent like sticks. You know, we live here. We live in the Appalachia, and
we broadcast out of the
Appalachia.
Everybody
knows I'm white.
Sticks are.
So,
our sticks.
But I agree.
Good, Bonnie.
Yeah, I agree. You know, of course, with sticks because, you know, I have a thing on my refrigerator. I just wanted to read if it's okay. It says, with virtues and morals, faith, commitment, and work ethic, everyone will possess freedom. And I guess that's what you guys are trying to say. There are poor whites and there are poor blacks and there are people who will take from the system. They would actually have more freedom if they would give it up, truly, and have those principles. And what he's saying, which is your caller, I think you guys call him Brown, I think he would, you know, it would take care of itself if we taught, you know, the morals. And if anyone listens to Tracy and Friends all the time, you guys are saying this almost on a daily basis. The people you have come speak on your show, the people that you reference to books that you offer, you know, on your show. This is the basics of what you're telling, you know, the truth, but you're also doing that standard that we are Americans, and we are being buffaloed by the media, and people don't want to connect it, and this is the part that's the fearful part that causes all the confusion. The politics are playing into it. And if the politicians would stop giving money or setting up programs to help these people, they would not be a slave to the system. Many people are living off of the impoverished people in America. It doesn't matter what color skin they have. They're living. The government's designing programs to take away the freedoms of the people. And the only way we get them back is by having the morals, the faith, the commitment, and the work ethic that we had those years that you guys referenced to. Because like what you said, Tracy, it's not the same group of people from 30 years ago. Now, I have two 30-year-olds. And I can definitely see the answer. I mean, I can see the problem. I know exactly what you're saying. They have a mindset of entitlement. You know, I'm allowed to get a car loan. I'm allowed to get a house loan. Doesn't matter if my wages adequately say I can or I can afford it. And they do it anyway. And then they get into debt. They have school loans. They, you know, just in your little break there, it said that the young people aren't buying houses because they have student loan debt. So, and I live in the Appalachia, and what I earn a year, some people would absolutely think it's impoverished. I mean, absolutely, depending on what other part of the country you're referring to. But we do just fine here. We do just
and they don't
fine.
Want and don't want to make any more. Don't want to do. They like it the way it is.
We are so content, and we just want people to mind their business. We'll mind ours, and if something happens to you, we'll help you. You know, sometimes you get help when you don't even expect it. You know, it just shows up at your door because people care. That's the kind of people I want to be around. And I don't care where they live. I don't care what trailer park they live in. I don't care what Appalachian Mountain.
Bonnie,
what city they live in? I don't care.
Bonnie, there's a girl in the chat room, and she wants cat girl in the chat room. She wants to know what is the homicide rate down there in Appalachia where you live.
Well, I really don't know, and I'm not one of those people that could probably Google that. But we have had quite a few murders, and they have been unsolved because there was an article in the local paper that it is increasing. I don't think it has anything to do with money. I think it has to do with
drugs.
Something, but yeah, drugs. The design, the system that's been in place for over 30 years. Public assistance has definitely grown. I mean, you place a Walmart where you know everyone gets Social Security and welfare. And when these young moms, I know the true story is true. I don't know if they've changed it, but a few years ago, moms that were trying to get on their feet, the single mothers that were on welfare, they're trying to get them in a work program, they would give them these gift certificates, but the only place they could go was Walmart. Now, I'm sorry. If I've worked hard and I'm trying to get out of a bad situation for myself and my family, I want to have the freedoms to go to Big Lots, you know? that's ridiculous. So you know right there that the welfare or public assistance or help was narrowed to Walmart. Otherwise, it would have just been money for her to have the freedom because she worked hard to go where she needed to go to provide the best for her family. That's not what's happening here. If you notice where welfare offices are sitting, Section 8's not too far away. Public courthouse, Rite Aids. I mean, we've talked about this before on the radio station, but have you guys noticed where you live? Wherever, you know, look about your own communities. Look and see where those are located. You know, I know that sometimes public transit will only take people that are, you know, like the places like, they're called carts here in Columbiana County.
Shuttles.
Yeah, but they're paid for by taxpayers. You know, it's a taxpayer subsidy, whatever.
City shuttles that take people shopping.
Sometimes they take them to very limited places. I had an aunt who wanted to go to Aldi's. You could save a lot of money shopping there. She couldn't go when she took that $2 bus ride. It took her to Walmart.
Wow. Hold on just a second. Local call, your mic is on. Hello? All right. The number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. Bonnie, you're correct, but we need to understand people like how they live, and it's their choice to choose if that's how they want to live. The question is, when you say you want differently and you want somebody else to always pay for it.
I appreciate the caller's honesty, and thank you for calling. And I think what she just illustrated, what I was getting to, I'm not trying to bash poor white people in the Appalachians. That's not my intention. If you listen to her, and what she basically said is that poor people are poor people here in this country. They have the same problems. They have the same problems. The same problems, this is my understanding, that the same problems you're trying to make a distinction between white and black. The same things and the same pathologies that exist in her community exist in the black community in the inner city.
The
people are people, and that's what none of
you see. That's not what we're saying.
That's my take on it.
And what we're trying
people
to tell you
people,
is, yes,
people are people,
and yes, poor people have the same problems. But systemically, what we're looking at in the African-American community is a genocide problem. We say we want more. We say we want to be free.
When you say genocide, there's a larger group that's killing black people intentionally.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm also saying, because you have to understand, the abortion rate in the black community is despairingly much higher than it is in the white community, including in impoverished Appalachia.
I'm confused.
Don't be confused.
Let me tell you why.
That's what we want. I'll let you talk if you let somebody else get in. But with, you can't just cut across. In Appalachia, the people, that they want to be, they like it there. They want to be left there. This is what we do. This is how we live. If you give me something, I'll take it. But I'm not going to go out and march when you take it from me. What I'm saying is, in the inner cities, we say we want better, we want different, we want more, we want more, we want things differently. We are incarcerated at a higher rate. Right now, the projection is the population of the black community in 2013 is going to be the same in 2050. We have gone from being the second, the top minority to the secondary minority. And we are, and when you look at what's going on with the economics of the, of our country, instead of us actually being able to go to school and do it what's necessary, we're not having the opportunity to do so because we are learning at a slower rate. We're dropping out of school, and education doesn't seem to be on our forefront. If you want to go down in Appalachia, run around with no teeth and barefoot and don't read, that's fine. But you can't say that you want to go to college. You can't say that you want to go to college for free, and then we send you to college and you not get the education.
You're saying it's okay. You're happy with the that you can accept the status quo in the Appalachians because the people are content like that. But that since during the Civil Rights Movement 50 years ago, that there was a cry for inclusion and to get rid of segregation, that there's some type of disconnect because it's impossible for unambitious black people in the inner city, for them to have the same mindset as the people in the Appalachians.
I don't get what you're saying. You don't listen. Hold on, local call.
I see more similarities. When you take race out of the equation, I see more similarities between the poor people in the inner city.
You don't,
and
because
the poor
you ain't listening.
Because
you want to believe what you want to believe.
No, because I don't see the world in black and white.
You don't see any similarities, Brown, because you know why? Because you don't live there.
I see lots of similarities.
No, you don't see
you
any
don't.
Because we're telling you you're sadly mistaken. We live in Appalachia, Brown. Where the tower is that sends us out over the radio is in Appalachia. One of the guys that is our co-host lives directly in Appalachia, not the inner city. So you have to understand, you are wrong, Brown.
How am I wrong?
Wrong.
How am I wrong? Because there's a radio tower in Appalachia? Tell me how I'm wrong. I'll listen.
You're wrong because you're wrong about the people and what they intend. You don't understand it. It's a different dynamic than what you're dealing with.
See, the difference is you read about
people. They've got when the lady
spoke. It doesn't matter about whether they're poor people.
When the lady
poor people
spoke,
for a different reason than inner city people are.
Because of the mindset of black people 50 years ago, I don't get it.
No, Brown, don't turn this into a conversation about, don't be so narrow in what we're saying.
Don't you guys be so narrow. I'm looking at the
I'm trying to talk about civil rights. You come in with Appalachia, and what I'm trying to tell you is Appalachia did not have
point.
A march on Washington for civil rights. They did not have
that,
they didn't march.
That was
listen
50
to what
years
I'm saying.
Ago.
March.
A
listen.
Lot has changed if, since then. It's been 50 years ago.
If you are not, you're not, listen, if you're, right now, they get rid of, right now, I'm watching, what's his name? Al Sharpton going to have a 2-hour special tonight to talk about the march on Washington 50 years ago. And how we are
and that
we've
means,
gone
and that's a television show and that means what?
Can I please finish my sentence?
I want to know what it means.
Then if you listen and shut up,
I'm saying. Say it.
He
Make
is getting
the point,
ready. To,
shut up, Brown.
Shut
he
up,
is getting
Jeff.
Ready.
You can't tell
okay,
me.
Well,
shut
let's
up
see.
And tell
let's
you
see
shut up.
Back. Can, okay, let's do this. Let me see how quickly I can cut your phone off, and whether you can cut mine off.
This,
how about that?
This is an issue. Hey, South Carolina. But this is an
stupid.
Issue.
Stupid.
Do you?
Yeah,
Brown,
you are.
Brown. Y'all. This,
no,
this,
I'm
listen.
Not going to take it. You guys aren't going to just be.
There you go. Okay, we're done. This is the issue. I have a 2-hour program that he's going to spout how racist the country is, how divided the country is, based upon things that have been incited by media. And have been manipulated by media, and it's going to give a mindset of misinformation. When he talks about the Civil Rights Voting Act and the section that was cast down by that Supreme Court, instead of them being honest about the facts of what's going on here, giving both sides of the conversation of all the justices, why it was struck down and why it was not struck down and how they went about it, and how they felt as though it should have been going for all 50 states and not singling like just 8 states because of their geographical location, which the demographics have changed now. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about how things are moving in a different direction. They don't want to talk about Trayvon Martin and how we have not been proactive, but we've been reactive to what's going on. They don't want to talk about that. And because they don't want to talk about that, we are having this conversation today because that bothers me. And it's a lot of misinformation. And when you compare white versus black, the disparities, whether it be economics, education, and or just mental attitude, is at a loss because we have enjoyed being the victim. And we need to stand up and become the victor so that we can actually become something. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassetech.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The pool couple of.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
I'm Julio Flores with your headline news.
General Electric says it will add more than 150 jobs at three factories in Illinois and Ohio. To meet what the company says is increased demand for alternatives to traditional incandescent light bulbs. Part of that includes a new deal with Walmart. The company said in a news release Thursday that it will add 50 jobs in Circleville, Ohio, south of Columbus. Newton Falls residents drying out from heavy rains that flooded the area hope proof of their hardship will lead to federal assistance. The city experienced at least two heavy rainfalls during a four-week period, the most recent dropping 4.5 inches of rain in 1 hour. At a public meeting held on Thursday, residents brought pictures and information about the cost of damage they experienced from the flooding and how much of the cost insurers did not cover. At around 12:30 a.m. Thursday morning, two suspects armed with a gun robbed two Youngstown State University students on Norwood Avenue as they left a party. It's the fourth armed robbery near the YSU campus in a week where Youngstown State students are the victims. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
Are you looking to save money on your heating and cooling bills this year? Quality Windows can meet all your window needs while improving your curb appeal and increasing your home's value. Family owned and operated since 1998, Quality Windows lifetime warranted easy maintenance windows can save you up to 35% on your energy bills. They'll bring the showroom to you.
Hi, this is Kevin Goldberg, owner of Quality Windows. Call us today for your free in-home estimate at 1-800-863-9344. And you won't have to worry. There's no high-pressure, three-hour sales pitch with us. We don't require down payments, and we also have many different financing options available. And our prices start at just $179. And if you call in and mention this ad, receive an additional 20% off our Timeless series. And all the Quality Windows come with a true lifetime warranty.
Get your free estimate and more info at QualityWindowsLLC.com. 800-863-9344. Quality Windows. You've seen the rest. Now come see the best.
When I have one of those days, I know it's waiting for me at home.
It's the best purchase I've ever made.
I sleep so much better, I actually feel relaxed the next day.
These are actual statements made by Burnett Pools customers when they're talking about their hot spring spas. Don't you deserve a new spa? With pricing as low as $75 per month, you definitely can afford one. Your aching muscles, your stiff joints will relax and unwind. Tension will vanish. Burnett Pools has never had an offer like this in their 62-year history. For a limited time, 0% APR for 60 months, and payments as low as $75 per month now through August 25th.
My friends ask me what I'm doing different, why I look so much younger.
Refresh, rejuvenate, and most of all, relax. For more details, visit a Burnett Pools near you. In Canfield, Cortland, or Newcastle, or online at burnettpools.com.
Burnett Pools!
If you're ready to take control of your own destiny in a new career, consider a career in radio. Here's Brad Marshall, sales manager at Cumulus Radio.
Cumulus owns and operates over 500 radio stations in the U.S. in 120 cities. Locally, we have offices in Hermitage, Canton, and Youngstown. If you have outdoor sales experience and are a go-getter and want to work in a fast-paced, challenging career in radio, send me your resume.
Email your resume now to brad.marshall@cumulus.com. We're an equal opportunity employer.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. In studio with I have both Mark and Jeff, and we're here. We're live, and we want to hear from you today. It's open mic, the number 347-945-5229. Hey, don't forget to go over to the Village Marketplace. They're open until 6 o'clock tonight, and they're located over on South Avenue over in the Village and the Georgetown Village.
Georgetown got some of those roles.
Over at Coors.
You give me those, I'm going to come here every day.
You're taking those with you. So go over there and tell them that you heard it here, Tracy and friends. And also, I picked up a new client yesterday, and her name is, the name of it's called Charlie's Consignment Boutique. Consignment is a good way to be fashionable on a budget. And she's over in Warren, Ohio, and it's 408 East Market Street in Warren, 44481. And the phone number there is 330-792-0408. They offer you affordable part clothing. They take from children all the way up to children, women, and adults, and men, and women's and men's. They go from toddlers all the way up to, I think she said something like 44. So go and help them out and see what they've got there for you. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, I'm doing good. I come in here to get my my music lesson for the day, and that was good.
James Brown?
Yeah, you know.
No, this is the one. No.
What was the name of the song? It's got to be You've Done Me Wrong.
No, please.
Please. Okay. See, now I got to go download that sucker now. There it is. Yeah, he was in my time, but, you know, I didn't listen to James Brown.
Now, this is the song right here. This is the song. This is what you call real message music.
Yeah.
I'm serious. This was written with...
Open up the door. I'll get it myself.
See, that's what you call. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
I don't want nobody. I got
curious. Yeah, I'm pretty sure with the expert over here.
Yeah.
You know, geez, oh man. If you looked at my Facebook page today, you see I'm posting Pia Yezu from Fari's Requiem.
Yeah, I saw that.
Guys doing James Brown over here.
But I mean, that's message. During the Civil Rights Movement, you heard a lot of that. That was. I'm serious. We were talking about civil rights, and that's what they were talking about. Open up the door, and I'll get it myself. And then somehow we opened the door, and they said, "Don't let them get it themselves. We'll start giving it to them so we can weaken them."
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I'm hoping things are going to change now. I got this feeling. It's coming through with this mess down in Oklahoma, that maybe now there's going to be a turn.
Huh. What mess in Oklahoma?
The Australian dude that got killed.
What?
How
is that going to be?
They beat an old man. A World War veteran. Yeah.
No, this is not going
to. World War II.
What's it going to change? All it does is make white people hate black people and be scared of black kids. And do you realize that when we had the March on Washington, they were concerned about the violence of black people? And so what they did was turn them to become what they wanted them to be from that point.
I'm hoping that it starts a dialogue and we can get rid of some of this political correctness so we can have a frank discussion about what needs to be done to make things better, because I'm tired of it being the way that it is. It needs to get better. And unless we can have honest, frank discussion, there's no way that's going to happen. Everybody's afraid. They're, you know, the Italian word that goes, they paud. I mean, they're sitting there shaking in their shoes. And, you know, everybody's got to be able to come forth and have an honest discussion as to what needs to be done to help fix this. We can't go on this way. You know, I view America as a big boat. We're all on this boat together here. And we're all going to sink or we're all going to swim, and we better learn how to swim or we're going to have problems. It's only going to get worse. I don't want it to get worse.
Okay. Now listen to this. Stick sent me over the statistics for Ohio. And Cuyahoga County, Columbiana County is a good part of Appalachia, or it used to be before it got struck oil. And Columbiana County, and so let me say this really quick. Columbiana County, the violent crimes were 40. No, they didn't have none.
No violent crime
in 2010.
Nothing.
No.
Whoa.
Okay. It says zero, and this is a statistical report from the Department of Justice. Yet, let's go down to Mahoning County. What do you think? Wages? 10.
You talking murders or just
violent crimes?
Violent crime. Oh, it's got to be in the hundreds.
63 in Boardman.
Yeah.
It was 848 in Mahoning County.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right.
Now we make up 12% of the population.
Yeah.
In Mahoning County.
Mm-hmm.
African Americans do.
Yes.
And Youngstown, we make up about 49%, 49 to 52% of the population. In Youngstown City, there were 694 violent crimes.
Whoa.
The other highest number was in Austintown, and they had 23.
Oh, geez. How's Boardman doing?
Boardman had, oh, no, Boardman had 63.
Yeah.
Boardman had 63, so that was the next one.
Yeah, we don't
put up with that stuff out there.
So Austintown and Boardman were right with us. You guys, you had 23. Boardman had 63. And Youngstown had 694. And I will bet you that at least 60% of it was African-American, or an African-American was involved.
All right, what do you do to solve that?
Well, you do a lot. But, again, I was talking about mindset. And inside of this mindset, this conversation about mindset, because as we talk about the civil rights and the March on Washington, and you talk about mindset, and a guy named Brown, he brought in about Appalachia. And we were telling the people that live in Appalachia are happy in Appalachia. Just leave us alone. Give me my beer and let me go. Yeah, there's a little bit of crime down there. We might beat a wife every now and then. We might beat a husband every now and then. We might knock out a tooth. But this is what we do. I'm serious. This is what we do. This is how we do it. I like what we do. I like how we do it. Leave me alone, and I'll handle it myself.
Sure. Wow.
Very, very easy. African Americans are saying that they want to have inclusion and they want different. And I'm watching people now on MSNBC and CNN and with the celebration of this manipulate race in a bad light, based upon Zimmerman and Martin, and they're setting African Americans back decades because they still want to keep them to where they don't believe that they're free. They want them to always be the victim and not the victor.
But I'm seeing, I mean, I'm really seeing for the first time in a major way over the last year or two or three, African-American leaders standing up and saying, no, we're not going to do that. I mean, there's always the race baiters on both sides.
But who's following them? Because the ones that are saying, no, we're not going to take this, who are they?
I think
you got Dr. Carson. You got Carson.
Yeah. Bill Cosby. We've
demonized Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
We have shut down Dr. Carson, Ben Carson.
Alan West,
we marginalized him.
Who was the African-American commentator that was handling, I want to say it was either O'Reilly's show or Hannity's show.
It wasn't Walter Williams.
I don't know.
Who
really
was it,
smart
Matt?
Man. I was impressed.
Ron Williams.
Yeah.
Walter Williams.
Yeah.
Oh,
Walter Williams or Ron Williams?
No, Juan Williams.
He's moderate. But even
so, Rice.
But you have to realize they're on the conservative side and they have no traction in the black community.
But it's growing.
To what pace?
I when you're starting with complete marginalization to nothing, and now the voices are finally at least to the level of the roar that they can be heard a little bit. I think that's a major improvement. There has to be role models across the board. There's no role models anymore. I mean, role models are and these folks over here who are trying,
but they're not getting the traction. When I say traction,
yeah.
Majority of African Americans, when you hear them having this conversation.
And the fallacy is, because it's not only in the African-American community, it's in the white community, too.
That's correct.
And it's, and nobody seems to be dealing with that issue either.
But the race baiting is not in the white community.
No.
You're definitely seeing them trying to put a separation between black and white and taking us back 50 years to where white people are afraid of black people.
You can't have that. And I'm afraid,
But is that not happening?
Well, at what point does, and I'm thinking, why isn't Barack Obama out there talking about this right now? Here's a teachable moment. I mean, for him to stand up and say, you know what, folks, we have to move on beyond this.
Have you heard him say that?
No.
Why
not? I don't know why not.
What do you mean you don't know why not?
You tell me why he doesn't. I'm dumbfounded.
Because
he's
the question
nothing.
Is, the question is, we classify him as a mainland African American, and he's not.
Hey Tracy.
Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
Okay. Did I hear you correctly say that there's no race baiting in the white community?
No, I don't. I'm talking about when you look up the televisions, when you hear them. The race baiting, we see there's a lot on Facebook, but if you really look at the conversation, it is all about the demonization of African-American males. And so that's what I was saying. I'm not saying that they're not pushing forward and they're not behind it, but you've got black folks buying into this, I am the victim, I'm going to die, and then white people saying all black men are violent.
Well, I think I would say that middle class white men are playing. They like to play victim as well. You know, there hasn't been a single place of employment I've been at as and you know me. I'm a professional electrical engineer. I did pretty well in school, and I have a master's degree. And yet and still, every white men still question. Well, did you get this job? You because of affirmative action, and they like to blame affirmative action why white men don't have jobs all the time. They like to play victim when it comes to that. And when you look at the numbers, the vast majority of the benefactors to affirmative action, over 60% are white women, but they don't want to say that because those are their mothers, sisters, and wives. But then they want to scapegoat black people of why they don't have jobs. No, the real reason that we don't have jobs is because of the corporatist and fascist elements in this government. But instead of us coming together to analyze the problem objectively, I hear middle class white men play victim all the time, saying they don't have jobs because they're giving all the jobs to blacks. But then even on top of that, in some areas, you have the highest beneficiaries of affirmative action are veterans, and most veterans are white men. And so, but you never hear these things talked about by white men. But you know, I hear it all the time. I've heard it for all 10 years that I've been an engineer about the white men are losing jobs because of the blacks.
Let me rephrase what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's a difference to claim the victim. It's another thing to think you are the victim. See, and I'm going back to mindset. See, white men tell you that they claim to be the victim when they're actually victorious in it. We act like the victim instead of being the victor. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was going to disagree with the gentleman just a little bit in the sense I agree that white men, blame affirmative action on a lot of they're perceived to be ills. But part of the problem is they don't understand the other half of the equation he was talking about. The role of affirmative action with women in the beneficiaries of affirmative action being white women, those of us who spend some time reading know that. Those of us who can observe things know that. The marginalization of males is causing all races right now. It's a real problem, and it seems to be it's multiplied in the African American community, but it's males are in trouble in this country, generally speaking, and nobody pays attention to males anymore, and it's getting worse. I get tired of hearing about the glass ceiling and all that stuff.
Nah. Yesterday they were talking about that. Yesterday they said there's still a glass ceiling for women.
That's going to shatter, I don't really, at certain levels it may be, but generally speaking, all the benefit has gone to the women at the expense of the men. And it's been magnified in the African-American community, and it's just not a good situation. We can't talk about this, because the minute you do, you're a feminist, you're a racist, you hate women. It's nuts. Everything's nuts. This country is choking on political correctness. It needs to stop. We have to have honest, logical discussion.
And see, this is my issue when I talk about this. And Alex, go ahead and jump in. And not so blind, Mike, your mic is on. Beasley, as long as you're considerate, I don't mind you jumping in because you bring a vast point to the conversation.
Right.
But you just can't cross over because you don't like what somebody says.
I'm just listening. I don't want to be a part of this. I think the majority of you have a very narrow viewpoint. I'm not learning anything here. I'm teaching.
Okay.
Take me off.
And so this is my point. We have when I look at what's going on as we celebrate 50 years of the March on Washington, the mindset of people are still it's either there or beyond there. I mean, we said that we want to be a part of this process, and we were marginalized trying to become integrated into it. But now that we have access to it, majority of people do not believe that they're free to go ahead and attain the system and make it move in their direction, and especially African Americans.
Yeah, it's much more difficult for African Americans to navigate the system because unfortunately, you still have people that look at you according to your face.
I'm talking about people that look at me according to my face. They look like me that marginalize the system against me. Because, see, if I don't like the law, stand your ground. So why am I fighting about it after it's in 30 states? Why didn't I fight about it in the first state?
Oh, I don't know what you mean. They did fight about it in the first state.
And it didn't work?
No, they really, to tell you the truth, they were so freaking ignorant of it that they didn't know what it meant. And then people use it to their expense. But when the president comes with his agenda to get rid of guns, and he uses this as one of the ways to go that way again, then as another way to get into at the guns, then they all get all excited about it because the progressives told them to.
I had a guy this morning. He said that if Martin Luther King was here, he'd be appalled about people having gun ownership.
Boomed up.
So they said he shouldn't have that, and he would be appalled by what's going on with gun violence and how we have free guns and everybody has all this arsenal. And I don't believe that. He wanted to be peaceful, but he wanted people to have the rights to be able to protect themselves also.
Yeah, I'm going to assume he had guns.
He did have guns. That was one of the things that people tried to call him a hypocrite about, including Hoover, because he had armed guards and he was a legal gun owner, and he applied for one for a gun permit to carry, I think, in some city in Alabama, and he was denied because he was black, you know, but he was an avid gun owner and believed in he wasn't stupid. Now he believed in self defense and people's human right to protect themselves and their liberty. The racist of the time actually denied him. This is all public record. He actually applied for a carry permit in Alabama, and he was denied.
And let me say this, and what you just said, Alex, I believe that information has never come to full circle. People do not know that Martin Luther King applied for a gun permit and was denied because of the color of his skin.
That's right.
But he did apply. See, that's the important point. He did apply.
And so you have people talking today, and they're talking about the Zimmerman trial and the Stand Your Ground and the gun ownership and Martin Luther King and about how he would be so upset he wouldn't own a gun and he would not let his kids play with guns out in the backyard and all that kind of stuff. I mean, come on now. Look at how they're shaping. They're reshaping history.
And they like to do that. They always come in and kind of come up with something that I don't know what history book they're reading. It's not the one that I lived through. They're two different things. I don't know.
And so as they reshape history, they should reshape
Tracy,
the minds of the people. Yes, Al.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're having a great day. But here's the thing. That's why I'm so happy that there's something called print media. Don't get rid of your books. I don't care how you digitize them or whatever. Keep your paper books.
Yeah.
They can't change print.
Yeah.
They can manipulate media.
I told that
I
to
never
a
thought
friend
about
today
that. That's good.
Who's very liberal.
I did.
And she was talking about the movie The Butler, and I was telling her about some of the historical misstatements in that movie. And she goes, oh, yeah, that's because you listen to Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly. And I said, no, it's because I once had a library card and paid people to read to me. Go to the library. Get the hell off the internet. Go to the library where there's millions of copies of the Encyclopedia Britannica printed up until 1980 or whenever they stopped finally printing it hard copy, and they're not going to run around and alter them. We're on the internet. 5 minutes later, if it's no longer politically correct, it can come down.
And they take it down.
Yeah, or they take it. You've got to see the truth. She did not believe that Abraham Lincoln was a Republican, and then she did not believe that Woodrow Wilson was a Democrat and segregated the army. She did not believe that the Republicans were talking about civil rights and equality back in the late 50s. Ted Kennedy stopped that legislation, and that the Southern Democrats were the biggest obstacles. She didn't believe that. And I just told her, look, you go believe whatever you want, but if you go read a book, you know what? You're afraid to. You're afraid to go see if I'm right, because if I am right, then your whole belief system crumbles, because you have to believe it the way you were told to believe it. On the subject of... I'm sorry.
And they're rewriting it. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. I was just going to say, on the subject of Alex being, over the last 10 years, hearing what people said to him about affirmative action, all I would just tell you is, if I were there now, Alex, I'd give you a big hug and just tell you, Alex, you're not going to fix ignorant people. And just last week this happened to me. I'm talking to someone on the telephone, and it came out that I was blind because they asked me to do something, and I couldn't do it. And I had to explain to them I couldn't do it right then and there. And they said, you can't be blind. I said, why not? Said, you don't sound blind. You know what I said to that person? I said, yeah, that's the old blind people. The new generation of blind people, they actually send us to class how to sound normal over the phone. Oh, really? Alex, when somebody said to me one time many years ago, the reason I got a job was because I was disabled, and that's why I got the contract, because I was blind, I said, that is not the whole truth. The whole truth is my mother also slept with the referee who ran the bidding. So I marginalize him with humor, Alex. Marginalize him with humor. That's why Mel Brooks.
But you
got
to understand what Alex said. You know, think about this. Listen to what he said. He said, white men believe because he's an engineer, he got it because he was black.
I heard what he said.
Do you realize what that does to the psyche of a black man when you work that hard to get a degree, to get your master's, to graduate early from high school,
and to
have to pay for it? And no. But this is what happens. It hurts the black man's ego because
anybody has to work for anything. It's not.
But what happens is, Mike, wait a minute, hold on. What happens is he has to deal with this with every promotion that he gets. Because he's never good enough because of his hair and his skin, even though he's smarter and better than all of them because he's had to work hard for what he gets. And that is just so aggravating.
But he needs to see it for the victory that it is. Do you understand that it has become so fashionable to be a victim? Now even white men want to be a victim, and they can be a victim if they believe that affirmative action held them back. Do you see the victory that it is?
This is why I love the Marine Corps, because it's equal in the Marine Corps. You get promoted because you worked hard and you did what you were supposed to do, and you got cut in score. Okay? If you don't do it, you don't get the cut in score. You don't get promoted.
Yeah.
It's objective. It's not subjective. There's not those factors there.
Yeah. You're just not going to fix ignorant people. And the more we go politically correct in this country, the more ignorance there's going to be, and there's more people going to start wanting to wear the mantle of a victim because it's fashionable to be a victim somehow. Everybody likes being a victim now.
I'm not going to be anybody's victim. That means if I'm the victim, that means I'm laying on my back with my feet in the air. Oh, no. You know what happened when
that's not a good
in
position.
That position. Yeah.
That'll hurt your lower spine for sure. No comment. But no, and it's like I feel for Alex, but you're not gonna out argue an idiot. You know, one time I was arguing with a building inspector when I was 20 some odd years old, and was an old time carpenter working on my crew. He was near 60, and he saw this argument going on, and he was carrying lumber past me, and on the third trip past me, he tapped me on the shoulder. And I was right. I had the code book in the truck. I could have opened it to the page where I was right. I just had someone read the code to me the night before. And he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, look, you don't prove you're a genius by arguing with an idiot.
Yep.
Alex is above those people. And who cares what they say? Let it hurt, shake it off in 15 seconds, and realize that for some reason they need to be a victim that day, and they can be a victim to the black man then if that's what they want to believe. That's their choice.
Hey, Mike, those pilots that I used to talk to when I was in the Marine Corps, controlling them on radar, did not care what color the guy was on the other side of that mic. All they wanted to know was where the bogey was.
Exactly.
And my buddy
who was a crew chief in Vietnam, and who's a black man named Sam Beeman, Sam said when guys were under fire and he went out on a helicopter to pull guys out of a bad situation, when a black hand came out of the helicopter, there wasn't one guy who said, no, I'm waiting for the white hand. Yeah. Sam's written a great book. It's up on Amazon. It's called Flying Death. And it's about his experience in Vietnam. Then he came back home, became the first black police sergeant, first black detective, et cetera, in our police force at home. But, you know, they didn't care what color that hand was when you needed to be pulled out of a bad situation.
You got that right.
Yeah.
And see, you know, I refuse to be to play the victim. I just can't see it. I will not. Mm-mm. My mama and my dad they wouldn't let me do it. No.
Well, you know, Sal, because we've met and we know each other. You know how I try to make eye contact with people when I talk to them. I've had people tell me, "Well, you can't be blind. Why?" And I said, "Why can't I be blind?" They said, "Because the whole time we've been talking, you've been looking at me." And I said, "Oh, would you prefer that I was blind and rude? Could you sleep with that? Does that float your boat? Then you go off and talk about blind people having an attitude and being uppity and, you know, thinking they're better than other people. You know, the detractors need to hold on to their little bit of identity and self-esteem that they gather. These kind of people, that's how they hold their image of who they are together, by stepping on someone else. The only way they can have the tallest building in town isn't by adding one more story to theirs. It's by trying to tear one story off of everybody else's. That's just the way they are, and they're all.
Let me ask you something, Mike.
Pardon?
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, we talk and we know each other. Were you damaged mentally or physically by growing up poor?
No, actually, I didn't know we were poor because we were all poor, and in the project, and that was the one unifying factor we all had. With, you know, like somebody had a sled that was 6 months newer than yours. You know, there wasn't new stuff. Everything was hand-me-down, and you just accepted it. But no, I wasn't damaged by it, and it taught me a respect for work, and it taught me a respect for delayed gratification, because nothing was instant, you know?
You know, you were not going to get picked at in the neighborhood if you were riding your sister's bike.
Oh, God, no. No.
Okay.
No.
You were not.
You had a bike. See, at least you had a bike. Yeah.
And see, that's how people. Matter of fact, you could get into real big trouble if you took your sister's bike and she did not give you permission.
Yeah. A status symbol in our neighborhood was a bicycle that had rubber grips still on the handlebars. They weren't all cracked and broken off.
Oh no, man.
They were 8 or 9 bucks a pair, and that was a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Or still had pedals on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The platinum, the metal part on the pedal.
Yeah.
We had just a little spindle part coming off.
Yeah. Oh, you got to remember that. Oh, yeah. The rubber parts had fallen off. Yeah.
Hey, not so blind, Mike. How you doing?
Sir.
You know, I heard everything you said, and I don't want you to think that I'm playing victim myself. I'm
no,
not.
No, I understand.
I don't make excuses for you know, anything that if I miss any mark that I aim for, you know, or anything like that. But my only point was, I was just only making a point that
as we talk about black people acting like victims all the time, I was just making a point that I see that behavior a lot in middle-aged white men. That was really my only point. I know the challenges that face me. As a African American black engineer, and I don't make excuses for it. I just figure I need to adapt and adjust and keep it moving.
Yeah,
but
if they hurt you, and if any part of their behavior hurts you, that's on that. I don't mean it victimizes you, but it hurts you to be, because you work hard for something, you want the recognition. We all do. It's human nature.
Hey, guys.
I respect what you've accomplished. Yes.
I'm going to light it up a little bit because somebody sent me something just now.
Oh, no.
Okay. It says, the term is artery. Medical term is artery. The southern definition is artery. A study of paintings.
You're going to the fair.
We're going to the fair.
But why do you have to buy boots?
Because I don't have anything to wear. I don't want to walk through the barns with my good shoes.
Listen, let me tell you something. Little secret. You can come out and see me at the barns. Sticks may be in the barns, but I'm going to be over in the media section with a pair of flip flops on.
Yeah.
And a pair of blue jeans.
Okay.
And a pair of tennis.
Oh, no.
Flip-flops, there's a lot of traffic.
No. It's paved. See, that's why they make asphalt.
Like I said, asphalt, yeah, but you still got animals to walk on the asphalt, too.
No, not where I'm at. I come. No.
Let her learn by her.
I come in here. I go to the fair every year. I've been doing it like for 10, 12 years. I come in that back door where the media door is. Go by the grandstand right there.
There's an ankle by Jesus and a towel around me to watch.
There's a big rock right there. The administration building is right here. And there's a whole bunch of food around me right there. And they got a seat right there for me. That's all you need. If you think I'm going to go out there and walk in the barns, They won't let me ride the horses. They won't let me ride the cows. They won't let me do anything out there. I can't even pick the chinchillas. So why in the world?
Let me tell you.
Just because we talk about Appalachia doesn't mean I'm trying to live there. Absolutely not. Hey,
I'm doing really good. Let me tell you all about them barns. That manure don't even hit the ground before it's cleaned up. Because those kids don't want to scrub those animals anymore, and they absolutely have to.
Okay. You showing anything out there, Sticks? Does your family show
anything? He's getting married.
No, my kids are all grown. My daughter's getting married next Saturday.
Oh, that's great.
He's getting married. He ain't paying attention to no fair this year.
I'm still trying to figure out if I can make it out on Thursday or not. I was talking to Mom about it last night.
And Mom said if you don't bring your tail home, she's going to go out there and hit you in the teeth. That's what I said about Appalachia.
I might be able to get...
Sticks, we haven't talked. I've been talking with you for a while. So your daughter's getting married. You like your son-in-law?
Oh, yeah. He's a great kid.
That's good.
Great young man.
Now, you're from Appalachia?
I am, yeah.
Well, how do you feel about your daughter getting married before you?
Oh, jeez.
Celebrated the first one to graduate high school. I guess you're the only person to get married, or what?
The woman I married's last name was Hatfield before I married her.
South Carolina, help me out here.
Hey, listen. I was just telling them about something that somebody sent me. It's just the medical terms, okay? And the southern definition, the term B9, what you be after you be 8.
What in the world are y'all doing? It's Friday afternoon. What kind of Kool-Aid are you drinking this early in the afternoon?
It ain't the Kool-Aid. That's what's in the Kool-Aid.
Wow.
Morbid. A higher offer.
I like that, huh?
Nitrate. Rates of pay for working at night, normally more money than days.
Night rates. Wait a minute. Speaking of, have you seen that commercial where the little kid has a knock-knock joke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's almost as bad as South Carolina.
My wife's from a farm. I mean, geez, my wife, they raised cows, they had pigs, they had chickens, they grew crops. I mean, and I'd go out to visit, when I went to her high school reunion, we're sitting out there in the middle of Shiloh, Ohio, and I'm talking to her class. I didn't know I could talk about crops and veterinary medicine. I sat and talked for 2 hours with those folks and listened to a really bad Elvis Presley impersonator doing karaoke, singing in the ghetto. I almost wet my pants. I laughed so hard. In the ghetto.
Hey, Mark.
God, it was an interesting experience.
Hey, Mark, before you was married, when you went out to see your wife-to-be, did her dad hand you a pitchfork as soon as you walked through the door?
No, you know what? I'll tell you what. They're interesting. But my father-in-law was a sweetheart. My mother-in-law was the one that was the issue. You know, we hated each other for 40-some years. My father-in-law and I got along real, real well. But they didn't say hello or goodbye. I mean, I'd go into the room, and, you know, she had a big family, and they're all sitting there, all her aunts and uncles, and they look at you, and you sit down, and then somebody goes, yep, okay.
You know what?
Yeah.
And this
I got
is...
the same thing when I got married.
You got what?
I got more of the blind mistreatment when I got married. My wife tells me her mother, Astor, said when she found out we were engaged, said, well, now that you're going to marry a blind guy, are you going to use that as an excuse to let yourself go?
That's
me.
Hold on, listen. I gotta go. I gotta change the subject. The beating death of the 88-year-old victim, veteran.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that for a minute.
Did they get the guys? I'm looking at.
They
the
got calendar. One.
They got one. And I want to talk about this for just a moment. He was a World War II veteran. He was 88 years old, and they beat him to death in Spokane, Washington.
Oh.
And somebody put in the chat room earlier, and they said, Tracy, are you going to call out these black kids? I don't care what color they are. I had a problem with Trayvon Martin dying. I got a problem with the young kids here dying. I got a problem with an 88-year-old man dying. I got a problem with the guy from Australia getting shot in the back for a sport. I got a problem when they chased black people down and hung them on a tree. All of it's evil. And I don't care what color it comes in, and I don't care who does it. And I think they should be shot and put under the jail. I think we ought to take them out with a shotgun and a 2x4 and really show them what it's like to get hit. And stop this pettiness. When you go to jail, it becomes a new country club. I got a problem with that. I got a problem with the politically correctness of this, and it's despicable. It's I despise it all, and I don't care who does it. This is not a black or white thing. This is a right or wrong thing. And I just wanted to get that off my chest, because no matter if he was a World War II veteran, if he was a baby in a carriage, or if he was a man jogging down the street, I don't care. It's all evil, and it's all wrong.
You know, we've had that right here in Youngstown.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, we were twice over at the St. Dominic's, and that lady that was killed out in the parking lot, and the other senior couple that was gunned down in their car.
That's what I'm saying. And whether you're going down the street, gunned down in the car, going to prayer, coming back home, jogging in the street, walking with a skittle and a Tootsie Roll, whatever it takes, I have a problem with death. Especially death by the hands of another that's premature.
But, you know, I hate for it to sound the way this is going to sound, because I don't want to get the conversation to go in the direction it's going to go. But generally speaking, in this country, to me, in my view of things, nothing's more precious than life.
I agree.
And when people die, I get upset.
I agree.
And there's too many people dying these days.
At the hands of senseless murder.
But this country has, how can I put this, degraded life. Life doesn't mean anything anymore. The value system, the moral compass of this country is completely off the charts. I don't see, you know, I how do you address these kinds of things when human life is viewed so cavalierly in many different ways.
440, your mic is on.
Yeah, you know that I'm not too much for political correctness. That's why they call me Bad Bill. So you know who you are. That. You know who I am. But, I mean, we have to look at the details. The details are, I mean, and this just came out in a report, over 50% of the murders in this country is done by young black males. That has to be addressed. That's not me saying it. That's the way it is. And that's symptomatic of something. I mean,
it's symptomatic of lack of discipline at an early age and a society that breeds it.
I mean we have to begin targeting something here. We just can't let this continue. I mean, pardon me?
No, go ahead.
I mean, they also came out with a thing today in my paper of what the grades were for the schools in the state, and the predominantly black schools got real bad grades. I mean,
why is that?
Something's that I'm asking you. I don't know.
I get beat up when I say it.
I know everything. I mean,
Tracy. Tracy, can I address
that? Yes, go ahead.
Since, I've been on the side of early childhood education, and my wife's a teacher. So right now, she is having so much trouble trying to get parents engaged and involved.
Yep.
She can tell you at the beginning of a school year which kids are going to be successful and which kids are not going to be successful by looking at which parent shows up, which parent returns her phone call, which parent gives her all the information that she needs. And she has a little form that she has them sign, kind of like a pledge form where they pledge to, you know, be there for their student and help them do their homework and so on and so forth. And she can tell you, you know, out of the 22 kids she got in the class, only 10 of the parents showed up.
I was telling someone the other day, parent teacher conference last year, a friend of mine has 80 students. He teaches 7th and 8th grade. He has 80 students. Parent teacher conference, 2 parents showed up.
Yeah.
2? So,
where do you go to fix that?
Pardon me? Where do you go to fix that?
Yeah, where do you go to fix it? I'm going to tell you something. This country has degraded life. They've degraded God. They've degraded morality.
Thank you.
They have degraded politeness and respect for one another, because it is absolutely self-centered. When you take away the moral compass, when you take away values, when you take away right or wrong, why are we surprised this is going on?
I don't know.
We shouldn't be surprised. What did they think we were going to get? There's nobody to tell these kids that's wrong.
You can't say wrong because we all
win. Mark, it's your generation's fault. If you feel good, do it. Make love, not war, man.
I never did that. I never did it.
He was working for Nixon.
I was working for Nixon. That's right.
You know he wasn't getting any. None of that free love stuff. He was paying for everything he got, one way or another.
But let me say this, and local call, I'm going to pull you in. If you want to know what's really wrong, and if you want to fix this, then start putting resources in the right hand and not the politically correct hand. Because, see, economic development will change this, but you need to make sure that when you have economic development and you start giving these people economic places to get jobs,
yeah,
and educational training, it's all-inclusive. See, we have these Band-Aid programs through TANF funds from the Welfare to Work program that are designed not to work when they give the money out.
But, see, what it is me and Mike and I were talking off, you know, while we're on break, And we both come to the conclusion that if you're poor, you just poor. It has nothing to do with your character. It has nothing to do with with the amount of education that you can or your brain.
I agree with
and
that.
You can learn. It's a bunch of choices. Yes. You may have to fight and scratch and scream and holler, but, I mean, we
South
have
Carolina
in my family.
South Carolina. See, this is the difference. Poor people in America don't have work and don't have accountability issues. They have accountability issues. People who are working have to be accountable to get the paycheck. So you've got to come to work, which makes you accountable. You've got to be there and do the job, which makes you accountable. And you can learn from people. You can learn from people around you because association brings upon assimilation. If I just mail you a check and call you poor and you have enough to feed your family for the rest of the month and a place to stay warm, then I'm not holding you accountable for anything, so you're not making anybody in your home accountable. Are you following me?
Yeah.
And so when I say about giving the resources and doing ready work readiness and giving them employment, that's going to make them accountable because after a while, when you start giving people responsibility, they start making other people around them that they have control over responsible.
And see, the thing that's happening in our society, what I'm seeing, Tracy, is that's been going on for a long time, and you've got people out there yelling victim, 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 and the folks that are the doers in the society are at the point now that they're going to say, to hell with you, we're not going to give you anything. And that's when everything's going to blow up.
Because they keep on... That's what I'm saying. They keep on giving people stuff, something, and they don't make them accountable for what they give. It goes back to accountability. If I keep on giving Jeff a check every week,
he'll come back happy.
And he likes the check that he gets, and he likes what he does because I treat him as a good employee. And if he has any self worth, he's going to come to work the next day, and when he comes in late the next day, if I tell him, listen, if you come in again late again, you won't have a job, you'll be on probation. If he likes what he's doing, if I treat him with respect and he has some dignity, he'll start coming to work a little bit earlier and on time. Go ahead, private caller.
Oh, hi, Tracy. It's Dee.
Hey, Dee.
You know, I was thinking about the sharing of information about Martin Luther King this morning, and, you know, the one thing that I would challenge young people, is that he had a dream. Do you? Do you have a dream? And I think, you know, people embrace so much, you know, that beautiful, impassioned, you know, speech that he gave. But he had a plan that he wanted to put forward to bring that dream to fruition. And other people need to have dreams. And you think parents should have a dream for their children and share it with them and encourage them. And then also encourage them to dream their own dream. And I agree with you completely about, you know, having, we have to have like consequences for people. Logical consequences. And I think too much of, you know, young society now is isolated. They're off by themselves. They don't have an opportunity to listen to older people who have wisdom, who can give them good information and teach them, mentor them. And I think if we could get more people to put these kinds of programs on television, that
they're not going
to
watch that. We're past that.
Nope.
We're past TV.
Well, how do you get to
Jay-Z? They're
going to
watch Jay-Z.
We're past that because we have so much independence. You've got to change the mindset of the parent now. I mean, you have to realize we've given control to everybody else, but you can't. You're going to have to empower the parent and teach them, and empower the student and teach them at the same time. That's why
Tracy?
Boys and girls clubs aren't working like they should.
Well,
Tracy?
I agree. I think the parents have allowed other
people
to take responsibility. You know, the sports coach, the music teacher,
But you got to have both.
That's it. But they have relinquished. I think parents have relinquished a lot of responsibility, and they have to take that back.
They have, but again, even when in relinquishing their responsibility, you've got to have both. So you just can't work on the kid and not work on the parent. And you can't work on the parent and not work on the kid. You've got to work on both of them at the same time.
Well, you know, when I was in school, learning at college, they were talking about, you know, developing children, building them up. And they said that when you find them doing something good, comment on it. And I try that. Like if I'm out at the grocery store and I see young people really hustling, I let them know. I tell them that, you know, like I'm watching you. You are really, you know, an excellent worker. Or give them a hug. You know, like if they're
it helps. It helps.
Receptive, and you say, "Can I give you a hug? You are really, you know, impressing."
It's help. It helps, but if that's the only help you get, I mean, it has to be a concerted effort and a plan. Just like there's a plan to destroy them, there has to be a plan to build them. Hold on. Go ahead. 440.
Did you know that Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati have almost, not quite, almost 50% dropout rate? That is on the parents right there.
No. Whoa. Let me explain dropout rate. This is the problem. Dropout rate does not mean that a child came into the school and quit at 16. That's not what it means. It means that a child came in the ninth grade, left the school no matter where they went in America, and no one else came inside the school district. Don't ask me why they count dropout rate that way, but that's how dropout rates are calculated in the state of Ohio. Dropout rates are when a child enters into the ninth grade. If he does not complete 4 years in that school, he is considered a dropout, no matter if he went and left from Youngstown and went to Boardman and graduated.
But that doesn't – I don't doubt that's what you – I don't doubt that you're not right. But I looked at Chardon's today, and they got zero. And I know
That's not true. You want me to tell you why they have zero? That's because the children that left out of the numbers that left out of Chardon School, other students came into Chardon School to replace them.
Right. And when you inside the those cities, you have a lot of people that move around sometimes every 6 months, and they may have left and went to another school district right in their town, or right in their area. And the way that they count it, they don't follow the student. They need to follow the student if they're going to do that, but that's too much like doing right, so they're not going to do it.
But that's what that means. So when you look at Chardon, if you go into Chardon, Chardon has such a great school, and Lowellville, Hubbard, Canfield, you've got new students coming into the school on an ongoing basis. So any students that actually leave out, they're not considered dropouts because somebody's there to fill that seat and grow. That's how that happens.
But it correlates with the overall grade too. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, the all the different how they grade the whole thing, and it's just how could they all three of these major cities have an F?
Oh, but now that's academics. That's something different.
Well, no, I'm saying this is all in. This is all in, all inclusive.
That's what I'm saying.
Different areas that they graded, but right overall.
Absolutely.
And I'm like,
F. Where's Youngstown at? Did we get a D minus, or are we still at F?
You know
Tracy,
what?
You know what?
I don't know.
Nine areas, not one.
So why are we
zero?
So why are we so in love with what's going on in the Youngstown City School? Because I talked to a guy last night who's a great educator. He left our schools, went to a suburban school that's in excellent, but we kicked him out of Youngstown City School because we didn't want him there anymore.
He's probably too tough. He demands excellence, but who knows?
The one thing that I will say in defense of the inner city statistics, and that is this: it is night and day difference teaching inner city children and teaching suburban children. A lot of times, when you move inner city children and you take them in small numbers out to the suburbs, they start to assimilate a little better because then some of the socioeconomic problems are a little abated that they deal with versus what you do. It's hard as hell, for many kids that have walked through the field going to school that walked up on a dead body. Or sees people drug dealing on the street in very, very hostile situations and arguments breaking off because people don't have enough money to live on this, that, and the other, and you not being able to sleep all night because mama and daddy is arguing or daddy's coming home drunk, mama coming home drunk, all these things because of their lot in life. And see, they crowd these people all over into one area, and it all has an effect. and nobody wants to look at that effect because it's not them. But that's a huge dynamic. That's why you spend more on inner city kids, because you have to teach different ones different ways because of their dysfunction.
And not only that, you got to also understand that parental pressures that, I mean, if you live in a household and your mom is a teacher and your dad is a professional, and they go to bed at 8 o'clock, the house goes to bed at 8 o'clock, and there are structures, you have chores, you got this, you got that going on, and you come home, and when you come home, they tell you that you've got a desk to sit down and you must do your homework. Mm. They ask you what you go over, and all this. That's something that happens that makes life better for you and academically. But if you come home and nobody cares what you do, and all they show is that you got a star on your paper, and they haven't paid attention to what was on the paper, and that you're still doing 1 + 1 = 2, and you're in the third grade. That's a problem. I'll be right back.
Individualized and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus...
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce is at the...
Oh, I guess we could talk amongst ourselves. South Carolina, are you there? Hello?
Hello.
Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, you're back and listening to Tracy and Friends. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Jeff just said something to me that it's got me, my lips, my tongue is twisted and completely tied in knots. And you can't tell me that you heard somebody with a PhD who's supposed to be prolific in black history tell me how Democrats pushed the civil rights legislation.
Oh, yeah.
You can't tell me that, Jeff. That doesn't make sense.
She said it and Sharpton said it.
You can't. Well, okay, I'll give Sharpton. Sharpton is as smart as a rock when it comes to facts.
Sharpton is very intelligent.
Hold on. She's as smart as a rock when it comes to academic intellectual facts.
Okay.
But Melissa Harris Perez has a PhD, if I'm not mistaken, in African-American affairs. You cannot read books on African American affairs and come out with the Democrats push for civil rights.
Ask my Aunt Josephine about that. She says some people are so smart they're stupid.
But you had to read a book to get that far in life. You had to read a book. Remember, there was a song, Jeff.
That depends on what books.
Hold on, yeah. Let me find the song. You want to hear it? Here it go. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on, I gotta find it. There's a book here. I gotta find I can't find the clean version.
What?
I gotta, because I can't play the bad version.
Name the song.
No, I can't name the song. You gotta hear the song.
Well, what she does her last.
And the number 347-945-5229. You're talking to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
Yeah! What's up, y'all? This your boy, D-Mike. See, I usually do songs with, like, hooks and concepts, right? I'm trying to go platinum. I'm about to rock this. Check this out, y'all. Read a book, read a book, read them up. Read a book, read a book, read them up.
Oh, yeah.
Book, read a book, read a book, read them up. Book, read a book, read a book, read them up. R-E-A-D-H-B-O.
See, that's it. You got to read a book.
He need to read one himself.
At least you got it right.
Hey, Tracy,
he did get it right.
You got it right. Read a book.
Tracy, can I change the subject?
Jeff, quit watching the news.
What's that?
I said quit watching the news. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It's 40 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock. You got to read a book.
You got to read all kind of books.
You got to read a book. You can't get a PhD without reading the books. You can't tell me that Democrats helped pass the
You know
the
where
White
I was yesterday afternoon?
Reading the book?
No. I was reading a book, but I was standing in the middle of an Indian mound down in Indiana. Okay? Looking at the, you know, how they made this thing and what, you know, the things were about it, blah, blah, blah. Because you say, What was somebody doing in 1000 B.C. with a super accurate star map that told you the change of the seasons, the exact day it was going to happen, and what was going to happen as a result of it? Who does that? You know what I'm saying?
People that read a book.
So, but the thing is you got to have an understanding of what something is. Everything in this world is connected to everything else. There's nothing that's
gotta,
not connected.
Jeff, you got to read a book. Hold on.
Of course you have to read a book.
You got
to
read a book.
You got to read a lot of books.
You got to read just read a book.
No, no. A book is not going to help you.
To get a PhD, Jeff, you had to read a book.
Yeah, she had to read 8 books to get a PhD.
So can you tell me, how do you get a PhD, which means you had to go from bachelor's all the way up to the major?
Because I tried to tell you last week, there's people that heard the regular people that know the truth, but they don't tell you the truth.
In African-American studies, you had to read more than one book. If I'm not mistaken, and I know I'm as dumb as a rock, you have to read many, many books to be proficient in a certain study when you go to college. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but yeah, I could tell you if what was her degree in?
I think it was African-American studies, if I'm mistaken.
So you go in there and you're researching your master's degree, your PhD, and they send you over to the library. And you get yourself your sources, and you sit and you read. The problem is, half of what you're reading is garbage. Now, you can pick and choose what you want, because if you're talking, let's say, history, for example, there's lots of different kinds of history. There's economic history, there's social history, there's history, fact history, geographical history, cultural history. And each one of these brings a different perspective. So if she's going into a liberal school, they're going to steer her to the liberal books. And there's plenty of them out there.
Plenty of them out there that don't have a bit of truth in them.
Yeah, you know, they take their view of history, and it's not, you know, what you would say, right? It's revisionist history.
And on the other hand, a lot of their far right books that are history books have nothing to do with the truth as well.
That's true. I agree.
So, because if you're studying the stuff, I mean, believe me, I talk about stuff. They'll tell you, you know, history is relative. It's not factual. So you take your view.
That's like 1 + 1 = 3 if you can prove it.
Yeah,
you can prove it.
If you can prove it.
I heard that the other day that you could.
Was that shocking or what?
1 + 1 = 3 if you can prove it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a lawyer. I can prove it. But
local call, your mic is on. What, Steve?
Just speaking. I mean, secular education, good education, because it benefits for us, but the spiritual, whether or not we read God.
Okay.
You had no patience with that.
Can you tell?
I've noticed. Well, the same as Mark feels about history, I feel the same about statistics nowadays. I am so
sick
and tired of hearing what the percentage is of murders committed by young black men. Because here's what I say to that, and I hope this gets riled up, Bill, really riled up. Okay, I can wave a magic wand. I've been holding out on all you folks. I can make a magic wand, and I can make that 50% black murders go away right now. Go on. That means 100% of the murders are now done by white folks. So now, is that okay, Bill? You comfortable with that now? How about all murders are wrong? Because whatever causes anybody to murder, it's maybe more predominant in certain segments of our population, but it's the same cause. We got to fix the cause. Never mind quote statistics, because if we made all the black murders go away, well, then we'd only be left with all the white ones. And I guess that's acceptable to some folks, because there's the other statistics. And then they'd feel better. 100% of all murders are white people doing them.
This is a problem.
It's all got to go away.
No. Statistics, you know, you have to, just because you don't like statistics doesn't mean they're not there. And some of them are very, very good.
But you can't use them to make your
argument.
The number is
you can't fix yourself unless we all accept that there's a problem.
Exactly.
and that we all had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm saying to continue to quote the black statistics only. The problem is murder. It's not how many by who. It's all murder. And it's a cop-out, because the cop-out comes with, again, like Alex had to put up with white folks blaming affirmative action for their sense of disenfranchisement, whatever degree they had. It's the same thing. They say, well, as long as it's all the black folks doing it, I don't have to take the cinder out of my eye until they fix their problem.
But, Mike, the problem that we have is when you are always trying to climb uphill, even the ones who are doing the right thing, and you won't give them opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And you still marginalize them. That is a problem.
That's the black argument, Tracy, that I'm sympathetic with. It's the white people that quote the black murder statistic like somehow or another, if all that went away, everything would be okay. We're still left with all the other murders. I guess those are okay, though. That's
absolutely
all I'm saying. Because
absolutely
whatever causes it in one community is maybe the reason in the other community. But the bottom line is it's all wrong. So stop. Another point of division in this country. Now we're going to break down the murders based upon the color of the perpetrator. And just instead of saying all murder's wrong, and that's what we should be moving toward fixing.
Well, there's no doubt about it, but let me say one thing. With our attitude toward murdering babies that we want to say are not made perfect, you have unleashed this on your society. That's why your youth are killing people left and right.
Sure.
Okay. Your youth are seeing that same callous, heinous attitude that we have toward babies because we want to not be, we want to screw and not have to pay for it. So now they say, well, I want a pair of tennis shoes and don't want to pay for it. So why can't I abort this person just because he's a few years older than a baby? What difference does it make? It's a mindset, and that's what's going on.
Thank you, Jeff. That's what I was trying to get at earlier, and I didn't want to bring it up.
You should have just brought it up. Okay here, Mark. You're amongst friends.
Yeah, it's the spirit. It's the spirit of a thing.
Not like we're politically correct here.
Yeah, we're not. We don't give a flip.
We're not politically correct. If we were, we wouldn't all be together.
That's true. We don't care.
No, I do care.
We care about one thing.
No, I do care.
I care this. I want to effectuate. I want you to understand what I'm saying, number one. I want you to think about what I'm saying, number two. Because if you do, maybe then we'll start coming to some type of parity in the communities of America. Because if you don't understand that one little thing right there, you'll never get past. What do? Why are people doing this? They're doing it because you have a heinous attitude toward killing.
That's right.
You have it. There's no way around it. And so if that doesn't change, it's not going to change. And so, you know, I hear you. I just feel bad for us because we're not, you know, we don't want to get to the thing. When he said that immorality is we pushed out, you know, we brought in and pushed away morality, that's it. We don't have any standards anymore. No,
right.
Truth is not relative. Truth is the truth. You can't ignore it.
Mm-hmm. When Mark said before about President Obama missing the teaching moment, it's for every simple reason. President Obama doesn't like to teach. He just likes to lecture.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
And you can't have a lecturing moment. That's not how you learn.
He's not trying to teach.
No, he's trying to keep things as crazy as possible.
I was just being a little humorous with Mark, being a little ironically humorous. Playing lawyer with Mark.
I'll take the lecture. You know, if he comes out, I'll take the lecture. I'll listen to him. I'll put the TV in. I'm watching the lecture for an hour.
Yeah.
If he gets the message across, where is the leadership, the moral leadership in this country?
What moral leadership, Mark?
Well, that's the point.
Listen to this. We want to call things that are abnormal, normal.
Yeah.
In every sense of the word. There is a guy who is taking his child out of public education because I can't remember what the school district is, but they're upset because they're going to allow transgenders to use
bathrooms. Yes, ma'am.
Come on now. We have sexual identity problems.
Tracy, that's what I was going to share about. They have a law that was just passed in Germany that is going to put a new category on birth certificates. This was on the news yesterday, that you can declare a male, female, or other.
Oh, no.
When a baby is born. And they said that's because sometimes their genitals are not
you know, clearly defined, or they might. This is like a this is like one in a million, you know. But they're going to change this on birth certificates now. So you think of those children who are going to have that other category marked. And I suppose they're leaving the way open for them at a later point in their life to make that determination for themselves.
What happens to Siamese twins who's one of each? What do they put down? Others?
But again, and nobody's crying foul.
I know.
So,
that's because you left the whack jobs. The craziest people in the room right now are the ones who are calling the shots. This has got to be reined in. We've been browbeaten to the point that, you know, we got to this person this person that, this person the other thing. I've had enough. These people over here, I understand their concern, but you know what? The greater good's got to prevail here. Nobody's going to take these folks out and shoot them, but you got to have a standard by which our society can function. There is no standard anymore. Nothing.
Signing up on Facebook. Now you got to put male, female, or other?
You know, if we hear something like this coming to our country, we're going to have to start, you know, making a stand that that's unacceptable. I was shocked for Germany that it would be accepted. I don't know if they put it to the people, but they said that it was, you know, put into effect, I believe, yesterday.
So why are we surprised?
Put it to the people.
I mean, come on. Are we really do we understand what's going on here? Why are we surprised? I mean, let me say this, and this is something I said this to somebody yesterday, and I said this live on the air. We were talking about women's rights and how they still treat women differently than men in the political arena. And I brought up Sarah Palin. And I talked about how they showed her backside and her legs during the debate against Joe Biden. I've never seen them show a man's tuchus while he was debating.
On the other hand, who wants to look at a man's tuchus while he's
why do you think we watch football? Okay.
If I thought I could get away with it, I'd show mine if I could get a vote.
But again,
I thought it would help my career.
If we look at how the questions that they had for about Hillary Clinton, there were some things that were off color about Hillary Clinton when she was running in the primary.
Yeah.
And it, right, wrong, or indifferent, whether you liked her or didn't like her, they were still not right. Well, we won't even acknowledge as Republicans and Democrats the injustices that way and being truthful about it.
No,
if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And you may hate their policies, but let's say that how they treated her at that point, that was not right.
No.
And how they treated Sarah Palin at that point was not right. Now, you don't have to like her or what she said. But because she had great legs, you show her legs because you can. That's just not right. You don't look up a girl's dress.
Now, and I got a question for you, Tracy.
Yeah.
When I'm talking politics with Ginger back home,
yeah,
can I still make comments like that?
Absolutely. You're married to her.
But, you know, it's a question of decency. We've lost that that code of honor and respect. It seems like we're so too familiar. We're too casual.
We don't respect our parents. Come on. I mean, what makes you – I mean, even in houses that you should think that you get respect, you don't respect. Who cusses out their parents?
Well, that's true.
The two greatest commandments, love God, love your neighbor.
Love yourself.
Love yourself. Now, that's what a simple rules to live in. If we can get that out,
mm-hmm,
we've accomplished something. But you can't. You're not allowed to say it
And
anymore.
Jeff, when I say love yourself, it says the Bible says for you to love their neighbor as yourself.
As yourself.
So the question is, if you don't love yourself, you got a problem.
Well, this is right. True.
Well, that leg shot stuff worked so well for Sarah. I understand
Bradley
Hillary.
Bradley Manning that wants to have a sex change operation.
I did. Was that true or was
yeah,
that
that's
a
truth?
That was
untrue.
Well, wait a minute. Because we got to go and we only got 5 minutes. But I saw that. And was that a true statement?
It's true. I think they said he wanted people to call him Chelsea.
Chelsea.
But can I ask a question? If he's going to prison.
I know.
Then,
well, the
they'll change his sex for him.
Well,
just
the military, they will not pay for that. And I'm hoping they stand by that. They said his attorneys are appealing that.
Wait a minute. His attorneys are appealing him going to...
They're appealing the sex change.
But the question is, who's paying for the sex change?
They want the military, his military health care to pay for that. And the military said they would not. And so now they're trying to appeal that.
So he's going to the brig. He's going to the. What's it called?
Exactly.
and they want to pay for his medical care. They want to change him to a woman while he's in the brig.
He's made that request. He said he's just come to the realization that...
And they want the United States government to pay for it?
Exactly. And if we end up reversing on this, again, I think that should be another thing that somehow we're going to have to make our voices known, because these things are crazy. There are people who need legitimate medical care and can't get it, and we're going to use money on these things that... if he wants to save his money, he can write a book or make a movie about it.
You're not allowed in prison to make money off of...
But I mean, when he comes out...
How long did he get?
He got 30-some years, but you know what? He's eligible for parole with 7.
Well, then let him get a sex change in 7. But he's going to start taking drugs now. I thought it was a hoax, because that just sounded so far-fetched.
No, it sounds crazy, because it is, but...
But I'm thinking
he can
write his book and he can make his his own way of getting that surgery.
What'd you say, South Carolina?
South Carolina told me he volunteered to be on the surgical team. He's a pretty good shot.
Oh, jeez. I got this new scalpel for Christmas. I've been waiting to try out.
Halfway there.
Wait, Mr. Green, we have to put him under first.
Hey, listen.
Absolutely.
Don't forget about Sunday afternoon. They're going to be having a women's event at 3:30 at the Westin downtown on Market Street. Jeff, you got Jazz in the Park.
Jazz in the Park Sunday at the B&O's. We have a former LaVert saxophone player, Russell Thompson, coming in.
Cool.
And Mark, what's going on in your world?
I'm going home to eat cinnamon rolls and watch TV.
Oh, Mark's going home to eat cinnamon rolls and watch TV. I'm going to work.
You are at work.
No, I'm going to the next job. You got to have more than one job when you pay Jeff as much as I pay.
We're Jamaican, man. We got to go make that money.
I got to go. Listen, God bless you guys. Have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday. And if you write this number down, the number is 347-945-5229. Mark, thanks for coming in on a Friday. We'll see you guys later on.